you'd like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show. If it's human waste, save some for me.
We'll take a call from Bob.
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. How are you this evening?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. I found the show completely by accident, and
okay.
I've been intrigued by the questions and answers, and I thought I'd give you a call.
Okay. What would you like us to answer?
Okay. I've had a condition around my mouth that my doctor diagnosed as something called Toodaloo-ass, and I'm not sure how I got that, but it involves chafing, and it gets purple and swelling, I guess around like where the mustache and chin area would be, not necessarily on the lips.
Is an underlying fungal infection.
I don't know what Toodaloo-ass is, actually. Maybe you could tell me more about it.
Well, actually, you know what? I've seen it, and what I think about it is basically, it's not on the corners of the mouth where you have keloses, correct?
No, it's not.
It's on the top.
Yeah.
Do you shave there?
With the same razor that I shave my taint with. You think that has anything to do with it? And I borrowed it from Buzz Burbank, who I know has Farfalotus of the blow.
Okay. But, okay. Well, that was an interesting call. Blowhole, that was really interesting.
Uh-huh. If it's human waste, save some for me.
Oh, here we go.
Caller, you on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Speak up, please. Good morning.
Sorry, I laid the phone down.
That's all right.
Oh, that was a long vacation. It was like being on hold for 9 days.
That happens.
Yeah. You know, looking at, a lot of this, if you use as an example, if you watch the MTV Music Awards.
Right.
People that came up on stage, you could see the way they paired people off. And I'd like to do something different. And after I mention the Don and Mike Show, I'd like to pretend that I'm on the Music Awards and say,
get another caller. See, that's why we need a 7-second delay. That's a darn shame. And see, the thing of it is, I actually like the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
So, for those of us who don't know, anyway, I really like those guys.
Thanks, pal.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Wow.
It's good, man. It's all good. We've been trying to hold it down and now, provide some information for the audience.
Whoa.
From another perspective, from the perspective of those of us who did time in prison and have some political consciousness.
Oh, no.
And, good morning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thanks for my talking to.
My name is Ralph.
Yes, good morning, Ralph.
And this is the second time I've heard your show, and I have to say that I think it's really great. Now, whom am I speaking with? I didn't catch your name.
Her name.
No, your name.
Oh, my name. My name is Eddie. I'm the host of the show, yes. Peace and Justice Radio.
Oh, that's great. For a minute, I thought you were Don Geronimo, and he got his voice fixed. Anyway, my crap detector went off.
Yes, get that.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Let's talk about some serious business here.
Yeah.
Eddie. Hey, Eddie. Yeah. Yo.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
So good.
So good.
Lady, I don't give a diddly what they call me. Is everybody happy?
It's time to Chongo then.
Uh-oh, Chongo!
Oh, yes it is.
You know.
What glorious goo.
I can't pee in public bathrooms.
That's so gay.
Dumbass.
Be warned, this is extremely graphic. So if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
Why do you favor rape?
I like rape.
Uh-oh.
Reject a woman, you never let it go. One of the many defects of their kind. Also weak arms.
Uh-oh.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Come on, Adam.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Welcome back to the show.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Ah, ah. Have a
back. It's a live episode, and it's a new episode on this SHI Thursday. Sure, happy it's Thursday.
Hi, everybody.
Phone number.
Big,
All
right, here we are.
So, give me a moment.
All right. Wet your whistle.
To collect myself.
All right.
And,
gather yourself.
Yeah. Give me one moment, and we'll start the show here.
That's fair enough.
We're going to just talk real life for a second. Why we were not here yesterday.
Okay.
We have already received more than a couple of emails to our site, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Wondering why I was spotted in criminal court yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can filter stuff out of our website. We can't filter stuff out of other people's websites. And once something is on the Internet, it's on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in court yesterday. And we did not have a show yesterday. And we didn't discuss what was going on.
Right.
Because what is going on is rather serious. I am getting... have been, gotta be careful how I say this, the last 5 months have not been good, been getting from a longtime rabid fan of the show serious death threats. And it got to the point where time to prosecute.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this has been going on behind the scenes. Yesterday, spent about 4 hours in court and found out that the case is going to be continued for another week or so.
Okay.
Didn't really want to bring this up on the radio, but if it's going to get out there...
Yeah, you have to address it, right.
That I was spotted in court yesterday, that's the deal. I take it seriously because stuff that comes to my house, stuff that threatens me, my girlfriend, and my son, has been driving me nuts. And I wish there was a resolution to it, and there isn't. And I don't mean to trouble anybody with this. It will not stop the show in any way, except in a week or so when I'm not here again, because I'm going to have to be back in court prosecuting against this guy.
You're going through the proper channels to deal with this situation. You're doing this the right way. You're doing this the legal way, and it's a process.
And the cops are great. They've been a real big help. You know, I can deal with all the outside crap that goes along with having a stupid show like we do, but when, seriously now, when somebody threatens not only me, but my family, you got to take it seriously. And you got to say, what the hell's going on? And one reason, the last thing I'm going to say on this topic is, one reason that I have, and it comes through on the air, a general distrust of people on the Internet is that this particular person is a huge Internet a junkie of the show.
Very active.
Mm-hmm. Has been very active. And for a long time has just done stuff that's just been enough to just almost not go over the edge.
Yeah.
And this time this person went over the edge, and that's the name of that tune. So that's where I was yesterday. Mike didn't feel comfortable, and I can understand coming in and having to say once again, you know, where's Don?
Well, you made the call today that you were going to talk about it, and
well,
originally, you know, you didn't know the way you were going to handle it.
Well,
and,
we get an email that from someone saying, you know, hey, I saw you in criminal court yesterday. I got to think, if we're getting emails at our website,
mm-hmm.
there are emails going out other places. And it's true, I was in the criminal courtroom for 4 hours waiting yesterday.
Wow. Right, right.
So anyway, you know, and I don't get any choice in the time for court dates. They don't give a crap that you're doing a radio show.
No, they don't.
So please bear with me as I get through this. Don't mean to bring it to your attention. But it's easier just to be honest and upfront about it and say what's going on, rather than have speculation on the intro net and people wondering what the hell's going
exactly.
on. Why were you there? Because I'm going to be taking off, as I mentioned, time again very soon. So thank you for your patience.
All right. Very good. Very good. I'm glad it's out there and you addressed it the way you should. And and good luck with all that. I know it's one gigantic pain in the ass.
It is.
It really, really is.
Wheels of justice, Jack.
But you got to do what you got to do.
It turns slow.
Slow. And you be careful out there. Make sure.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, just so anybody out there doesn't think that this is a bit of grandstanding or overreacting, you know, the charge against the person is threat, death, bodily injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a felony, Jack.
Serious as it gets.
Yeah.
So you got to deal with that, and good luck with everything. And I know it's a pain. I really do.
Anyway, thank you for your patience and understanding. Now, how about that American Idol?
How about that? I mean, we missed the actual discussion of the show itself, of the performance itself, which I considered to be the weakest of the entire season. I thought it was just, it really was horrible. Now, I don't know if that speaks to their song choices or whether it speaks to the Bee Gees in 2007.
Well, no, the Bee Gees have a great catalog of songs that easily could be adapted to almost any genre of music.
True. I don't remember listening to a lot of interviews with Barry Gibb when the Bee Gees were hot. So my question is,
he sounds exactly the same, Mike.
Did something?
There's no difference at all.
Did he add teeth?
Yes.
Did he add teeth to his mouth to cause him to speak that way? Highly, highly disturbing, both the way he looked. And come on.
Isn't his hair beautiful?
Well, how about his see-through shirt? What the hell is he coming out with a shirt where we can see his nipples?
I don't know.
At least he wasn't selling anything.
Well, you can look at the guy and see why he's not selling. He's got more money than Jesus anyway, so he's fine. But why did he wear the see-through shirt last night?
Chicks dig it.
Because I see it. I see him come walking out, and geez, he's got his nipples showing.
And he sang the same song that the chick had sang on the show the night before. And also, American Idol, you got an hour to fill. And that's really what it is. And they make no bones about it now.
Yeah, make it a half an hour.
Hey, come on, I go, it's an hour, we're going to fill it. Listen, if Simon Cowell's mother is there, I want to see Simon Cowell's mother. I don't want to see that troglodyte Judge Judy straight off the set of Jurassic Park getting all my high-definition FaceTime.
She made sure that she got her FaceTime. Did you see her, like, try to commandeer the whole set?
And it's when we should have finally gotten a look at the Queen Mum at Simon's mother.
Yes.
Or how about a shot of Simon's piece-of-ass girlfriend?
Well, we got a brief shot of her.
Yeah, but just a brief shot.
Just brief. Looked a little, it was hard to decipher what she looked. Not bad looking.
For a second, I thought Barry Gibb was Simon's mother. It was hard to make it out. You know, we spotted his talking trouble at Morris's funeral.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not anything recent.
It's a variation like of him having his jaw wired shut.
It's almost Sean Connery-ish. Not retarded, Sean Connery.
That's right, Trebek.
Higher register.
I think the top four that we're now looking at have grown immensely.
Immensely. I think the top four have grown immensely.
And he also loved mouthing along when everyone was singing the song.
Yeah, mouthing along and
like
looking
that
down at the floor.
Yes.
When they
let the old man have his fun. He's a BG, for God's sake.
With very,
and then he sang like a BG.
Pants.
And I realized the style of singing, which is the Beach, which is, I can't think,
I believe that you have just found the signature Bee Gees sound.
We can have it as a way. Set it up and say, wah, my baby.
I think the top four that we're now looking at have grown immensely.
Hi, human. A broken heart.
And the pink thing, God, I love pink.
Yeah.
Not only the sexual implication, but the singer.
Both.
You know, her part was spliced in.
Was it really?
Was not live.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Her part was spliced in.
They duped me. They cheated me.
That was her performance during the fake Idol charity show.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that she didn't run in the charity show was she wanted to sing her song, You and Your Hand, that song I like so bad.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let her sing.
Aw.
Really? Yeah, because it's suggestive, don't you know?
It's a hit. I would hate to play a hit.
Jesus. So the fight.
It's okay to play it on the radio, but don't do it on the American Idol.
I read that the behind-the-scenes stuff was that they said to her, okay, well, how about this for a compromise? Sing your other dopey song, and we'll put it on next week.
Really?
Yeah, so that's what they did.
Wow. Oh, God. That's the Suits, right? That's the network Suits that did that, or the power brokers at American Idol?
And And the Ryan Seacrest man on the street interview.
Yeah.
Do we really need 5 minutes every week?
Well, he acknowledges himself that that this is filler, that this is what he does, and you know we've got an hour to fill. I mean, he knows it as much as anybody. I prefer that to all the other crap, you know, to seeing the commercials and all that.
You know, Mike, here's my point though.
I like him. I think he's gorgeous.
You've got really the
gay.
I grow to be more and more physically attracted to him as each week.
Human ways, save some for me.
What the hell is that from?
Yeah. Jiminy Glick.
Oh. Is it really?
Yes, boy.
Right. And what excitement we have today.
We do.
The real Jiminy Glick.
I ain't saying Ryan Seacrest's bony arms. Some guy.
How about his nipples?
Some guy that's way too skinny to begin with, who you know has got a workout regime like beyond what a pro athlete has.
Well, he does, but he's got some mitts.
I want to see.
He's got little mitts when you see him in the golf shirt.
Speaking of mitts, it was funny when Paula Abdul did the thing about rubbing, like Simon rubs his mitts.
You can tell that they're crispy. Everybody on that show is getting crispy. It's been a long season, and they're ready for a little break.
I guess what I could have suggested, rather than do these dumb Ryan Seacrest man of the street things, why don't you give my man Simon some time? I mean, he very rarely gets time to pontificate about anything.
Well, they cut him off a couple of times last night, or the night before.
When they were running short on time.
You know, you'll see Paula sit there and struggle to find words in the English language that can communicate her feelings, and then by the time they get to Simon. Now, is that why they did a switch, why they had Simon sitting in the middle?
I think they did that because they're fried. Like you said, they're just
burned out.
So, Buzz, Simon's the only one with any balls. There's 2 minutes left in the show.
All right.
There's two people on stage.
Right.
They say to the judges, who do you think's going? Randy says, oh, dog, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, Paula goes, damn it. Simon says, Lakeisha.
I think based on her performance, it's going to be Lakeisha.
Everybody boos him, and he turns around and he says, there's only two left.
Right.
You have to pick one.
Well, he's justifying his meanness, and, you know, he's the one that will, you know, nobody wants to bite the bullet and pick the one that's going to go. And now you got Beatbox Boy, and obviously America is in love with beatboxing. Clearly. And they like him when he does his,
it's all the little prepubescent girls out there.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting competition. But I think it's Melinda on a skateboard now.
She's really? Not Jordan?
I don't think so.
Oh, I like Jordan.
No.
Well,
hold on a second.
I peeked in this week.
How long did you look in?
Oh, I don't know, 10 minutes. Just enough to see bits of all the performances.
He's offering an opinion.
I like the Jordan.
On American Idol.
That's all I'm saying.
America.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I like the Jordan.
Buzz Burbank watches American Idol and has an opinion on the show. Watches.
Past tense.
You looked in for what particular reason?
I decided to come to die.
Is it like being in an apartment building and your neighbors had like 10 parties and you decide there's one you're going to look in on?
I was killing 5 or 10 minutes while the wife finished the dishes.
You're such a liar.
It was because his old classmate Barry Gibb was on.
That's right. No, I didn't see last night. I missed Barry Gibb.
It's his son.
His son, Barry.
His adoptive son.
It's a gateway show, Buzz.
Yeah, I know.
Because then your next thing it'll be dancing. So you can dance, and then Dancing with the Tards, and all of the other shows that we love so bad.
Well, I'd like to make this announcement. If you were watching American Idol, this is very important for everybody to know. You know, late in the show, I think it was last night's episode, that they actually made an appeal to bands around the country. Hmm? I'd like to say that...
Oh, hold on, let me get something ready here.
I'd like to say that they said a very important thing during American Idol.
No talent necessary.
No, age is not a requirement.
Oh, there you go.
Any age, welcome. This is an opportunity for me to get the band back together to audition for American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to say I'll be taking my leave of absence. To go get the band back together.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the guys are in various prisons and rehabilitation facilities around the country. But I really think, you know, it's always been my dream to give it one shot and to go for it. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Thank you, Jiminy. So you can look for me. When are they going to do it? Are they going to broadcast this next year?
I don't know. That, to me, is the beginning of the end of that show that they had, like the contest to try to write a song for the finalist to sing, and now get the band thing going.
I was kind of curious why they were showing video of bands that were all young guys. I didn't understand what they were doing.
Because you're an old fart, Mike.
They didn't have any of the old Weekend Warrior old fart bands.
At some point, some channel like the Hallmark Channel will have a senior idol.
Senior idol is something I could see myself
doing. I mean, listen, hold on. I'm not just talking out of my ass here. I'm telling you, if someone, although I enjoy that, if someone from TLC or Discovery is listening, that's a show you could throw on it. If you said, do you have a rockin' good band, and are you over 50?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you love a good reality show.
Right.
Especially if you got a bunch of, I'm not talking about you, Mike, I'm talking about someone else.
Thank you.
Bunch of old guys living out some crazy fantasy. It would be, on a way, as ridiculous as when you see the big, fat, out-of-shape guys who pay to go down to spring training with their favorite teams.
Yeah, fantasy camp.
And put on the uniforms.
Right.
Same thing. It'd be like, Mike, hold on, you know what I'm picturing you as?
What's that?
Have you seen the promo on ESPN? With John Kruk, where he's dressed like a rock star, where he's got the Billy Idol vest on.
Really? I could do that look. I've always liked John Kruk. I've always related to his body. But here's the trick. I'm going to get 30 pieces.
30 pieces of what, a pizza?
No, 30 pieces. A 30-piece orchestra.
Oh, 30-piece orchestra.
A band. Wow. A band, yeah. We're going to have horns, strings, everything.
That's swinging, Daddy-O.
I'm going to invest a couple of $100,000 in it. And,
hold on a second. The biggest laugh right there.
Make it really work.
Yeah. Mike's going to invest a couple hundred thousand dollars in the band.
You have to start out with some basics. Now, the first basic, of course, will be the plastic surgery for me. And I'm not sure, but I'm really going to, it's going to be extreme makeover. I'm going to, new chin, new cheekbones, butt lift, everything that I require, because I'll be wearing spandex. That's what I'm planning to do.
I don't know. I'm coming to a strange realization.
Revelation?
Yes, and a realization at the same time that I don't know what it is, these things that had been so important to me. The Sopranos, it's ending. I really don't seem to care. 24 is petering out. I don't seem to care. American Idol. Spider-Man. Still not seen it.
Yeah.
Jan asked me today, you want to go see it this weekend? I said, I said,
you're not motivated.
This is how queer this is. I said, maybe we'll power wash this weekend. Now, when would I ever say, let's power wash about going to see a Spider-Man movie?
That each other?
Fine. Yes, of course, Mike.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure. What are you planning on power washing?
Just the bad parts.
Parts that need it. So like a stand-up bidet.
Yeah.
Right?
It's almost,
you have to be very careful. You don't want, you make sure you know what that pressure is before. Don't turn the hose on, with the nozzle close to the bad part.
It is like the game where you shoot the water in the clown's mouth.
Right.
The balloon on top of its head explodes.
Maybe if you put a balloon in your mouth and, you shot the power washer there, maybe it could really work that way.
Actually, poor Jan's got that thing tomorrow. She has to have that thing that we've all experienced many times, and we love. The colonoscopy thing?
Oh, there's nothing better. I refuse anesthesia.
So she she got the whole thing where she can't eat or drink today. And
the doctor, the last time I had mine, gave me the weirdest look when I said, can you leave the equipment in there a little longer? I don't know why he gave me kind of a queer look. It was very interesting. And I said, just go ahead. I said, you can leave. The nurses can leave. And I'll just, I'm just going to shift from side to side and watch the video screen.
Are you still going to Dr. Seacrest?
Dr. Seacrest.
You know, the weirdest part, when I went in for mine, they actually lost the camera in there.
Yeah.
Like the jaws of life opened up. And yeah. they said, we'll get it back in 7 to 10 days. And I didn't understand. I had to keep going to the doctor's office to go to the bathroom.
And the thing that was great about it, though, it was still recording the whole time. So it was really like the...
Fantastic Voyage.
Voyage. That's the one. What's the one with Martin Short? What's that one that he...
Interspace. Yeah, where he's inside Dennis Quaid's body.
Sure,
right?
Sure. That's exactly what it looks like. Lots of fun. Wonderful procedure, really.
All right, let's see what's happening here. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, boys.
Hey.
I have never watched, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I have never watched American Idol. She doesn't care for it. I saw the commercial for the Bee Gees, and I'm thinking, how can they screw this up? So if I'm ever going to watch this show, now's the time to watch it. Oh, my God. How do you sit there every week and watch this show? Paula Abdul gets paid to give you a verbal critique of a singer, and she can't put three
my
words
friend,
together.
You know, it's like right now you're standing in front of heroin addicts, and you're saying, as we shoot up between our toes, you're saying, how can you possibly do that to yourself?
But he's right. You know he's right. There's a lot of him that's right. The show is ending with a whimper and not with a bang. Yeah. And I don't know what they're going to do to pull it out at the end, because this should be, you know, just like what... Listen to me. Just like what Simon says.
Uh-huh. It's just like Simon says. But don't you think that Lakeisha, when they showed that tape of her from early in the season, when she was doing that song that day, you...
Oh, the Dream Girls song?
You're gonna love me. And she got her lips going at me. I mean, my God.
She was incredible back then.
All she had to do was recreate that.
Yeah, and she didn't do it. Lakeisha, more than anybody else, I said this to Carla last night, she is really punting it every week. She's punting it because, she's number one, she doesn't take the advice that the superstars are giving her, and she picks crappy songs.
Also, as Jan pointed out to me, the baby's mama got some problems, and she said that last night. She said,
yeah,
I had a bad morning today.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff hasn't gone good today.
But she really didn't listen.
What, Robbie?
It was her colon.
She had a bad colon. Leave the camera in there. But she didn't take anybody's advice, and she picked terrible songs. They all occasionally will pick a bad song, but the Melinda effort every week seems to be pretty well thought out and well crafted. And I think she's going to walk into it. Unless Jordan could pull it out. She really could.
She could pull it out for Buzz. I guarantee that.
But she's another one. And I'm a fat guy. I'm nobody to talk, but they're on TV every week. Come on. How about just, you know, push yourself away from the table a little bit, at least during the show.
Here's what they're going to say. Come on. She's 17. She's 17.
Yeah, what's she going to look like at 27?
Baby fat.
You know what she's going to look like at 27? I remember when I was on American Idol.
She's going to look like a white Lakeisha.
She's curvy.
I take it back. There's
beautiful. She could be an absolute knockout. Stunning woman.
Let's be careful. We're going to discuss race here.
Okay.
She is a mix,
yes.
Right? She's a cream
coffee. Mother, I believe, is her mother's wife. Her father's a famous football player.
Cream coffee.
Felipe Sparks, right?
Felipe Sparks from the Giants, right?
Yeah, Giants player. And,
right.
I
guess she wouldn't be a whiter Lakeisha. She'd be like cream coffee Lakeisha.
If she
got really, really way fat.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she... Carla and I were arguing because Carla said she thought Lakeisha had lost some weight.
Would she have a nice bowel movement before the show? How could she possibly lose weight?
I'd like to see Blake gain a little weight. I'd like to see a fat Blake. And then I'm voting for him. Then I'm going to go ahead and vote for him.
But absolutely. A really fat Blake.
Really like scary fat
now,
Blake.
Now, hey.
Like Chris Farley Blake.
Hold on. There's another spinoff show. Obese Idol.
Obese Idol. You have to be at least 250 pounds.
What if it was Obese Idol?
Oh, wow.
If it was all full of male and female Lakeishas.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Would you make it a weight loss competition during the show?
No.
Would you make it a weight gain competition during the show?
Yes, yes.
Of course.
You sell it out, you whore it
out. You're going to love me.
You whore it out to some candy company like Reese's Pieces where they show them doing the video in a bathtub full of Reese's Pieces.
And each week, the person that gets the most votes gets a feast. Gets a little feast, and then the feast is videotaped. All you can eat.
And no utensils.
And you have to eat with your hands.
It's all good sloppy food like baked potatoes.
This is Obese Idol, and we're very glad to be joined by Nell Carter. Is she no longer with us?
Baked potatoes, yes. Gravy, all the fixings. Oh, mashed potatoes.
Think of the themes that you could have. Pasta week. Pasta week on Obese Idol. Candy week. Cake week.
Jelly donuts.
Oh, man. Donut week.
Yeah.
Pastries.
I got another one for you.
What's that?
About Affliction Idol.
Oh, Afflicted. Yeah, bring the Afflicted out there.
That's right.
You have to have a major malady. That kind of Afflicted, too. Both mental and physical.
Yeah, both, right?
Yeah, yeah, be wonderful.
Special Idol.
Oh, wow. The possibilities are limitless.
Tourette's Idol.
Yeah.
More than a woman. Bitch, 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 bitch. More than a woman. A-hole, a-hole. Whoop, 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 whoop. Now, of course, some of these would have to be moved to basic cable.
Yeah, you'd have to do
that. Or edited, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of these could not air on Fox. Or no, you could do the beep beep. You're right, Buzz. You could edit them out.
How about Porn Idol?
Well, there you go.
You have to sing, though. You have to legitimately be able to sing.
While you're screwing?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but you just incorporate it somehow into the actual presentation.
Well, then it becomes like a musical. Like, what, you want the girl going?
No,
like...
no. You just have to, what you do is you have, one week where you sing your particular song. Like, you sing the song from Dreamgirls, and now, okay, hey, great job. And now your vote is 50% singing, and let's go to the video clip this week. Here's what you did up in the hotel room. Let's show this right now.
Let's go to your mentor, Ron Jeremy.
Always, you know, Ron Jeremy.
I looked at Mike, and I said about Mike, he's a guy who likes to do it from behind. I suggested, as you can see here on the tape, that Mike get his knees into it a little more.
Yeah, porn idol. You can do it on anything.
Right, and for the girls, the mentor could be Jenna.
Yeah, Jenna Jameson.
I'm Jenna Jameson.
Sure.
No, girls.
Or Sonny Lane. No, not Sonny Lane.
Not Sonny Lane.
You notice what I threw away? I threw away my copy of Buttman the other day. You threw it away.
Why?
Yeah, threw it away.
Why? Because you memorized it?
Yeah, I memorized it.
Never throw porn away.
Really?
What were you
thinking? Did you want it? Everybody wants porn. I would have given it to you. You gave me the Playboy the other day.
Right.
Playboy that is just... What's happened to Playboy?
It's like good housekeeping.
God, what happened to Playboy magazine? I mean, airbrushed. You don't even see any bad parts at all. It's disgusting.
I've worked at the Good Housekeeping.
When you were a lad?
Yeah.
Good Housekeeping?
Something like that. Ladies Home...
Sears catalog?
Maybe. Oh, Sears catalog. Well, that's the underwear part.
Mm-hmm.
But Ladies Home Journal or
one
something like that. Something
National Geographic?
Yeah. But I mean, sure. Yeah, all of those things you're talking about are where you see nude or semi-nude ladies.
I actually used to... My father had a subscription to National Geographic, and I used to get very excited when it would come to the house.
Sure.
But I'd have to wait for my opportunity to steal away and look at the pages.
I guess with... Here's a revelation. That's the second time I've said that. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
A repressed memory. I swear to God, I do remember working it while looking at a picture of Vicki Lawrence.
Wow.
In Ladies Home
and
Journal.
That's the night.
Or some magazine, or McCall's, or some like magazine.
Was
like
she
that.
Showing cleavage? Because she was
yes,
ample.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. It was a picture of her. And Harvey Korman, and she was...
Oh, God, how the hell could you look at Harvey Korman?
I wasn't looking at Harvey Korman.
He was in the picture, though, right?
Yeah, but so were her monster boobs.
You can hold pictures.
And whatever the magazine was, McCall's.
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah.
One of those. Well, McCall's has potential.
When you were a boy, and outside of the Sears catalog and, like, National Geographic, didn't you ever to, like, a regular magazine?
I probably did. I can't remember exactly. What I did find was a book that my sister brought home from college, which was called The Herod Experiment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You ever read that?
Sure did, Michael.
Find it if you can. This is the Vicki Lawrence collection.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
I like rape.
He was on his way home from Canada.
Yeah, Vicki Lawrence.
2 weeks gone.
Mama. Mama's Family.
Can we do a show with her one time?
We did a show with her when we were in our old station.
And they were remodeling the studio.
Right, they were renovating the studios, and we were broadcasting from a, seriously, a broom closet.
It was horrible.
An emergency studio. It was hot as... she was a good sport that day.
Yeah, it was like the three of us shoulder to shoulder in this tiny little studio. I don't remember you being obsessed with her breasts at that point.
Like I said, it just come to me, Mike.
Passing fantasy, so to speak.
Hey, you know something?
Yeah, what?
No, what? I had a dream last night.
I do remember that Vicki Lawrence, she had that, I don't know, she had like a Dorothy Hamill haircut.
Oh, okay.
And
short hair.
And a nice big boobs.
And very young.
Yeah.
You're very young in that day and age. She was a kid when she joined Carol Burnett, right? I mean, she was like 18, 19 years old.
She was hired because she looked like Carol Burnett.
Exactly. Indeed, she did.
Normally, that's a death sentence.
I know.
That's like second prize in a beauty contest.
She did look like Carol Burnett.
She played her little sister.
She was a sexier Carol Burnett, though.
She was much sexier younger. Carol Burnett.
Could you ever imagine having sex with a real Carol Burnett? Even back when...
Not a chance.
When she was...
Before the surgery?
Which surgery?
Well, now, you know...
Which surgery, Rob?
They've done magical things to her face. I mean, they've not corrected it.
It's not her face that's totally the problem, though, boy.
Well, no, but it's...
She was kind of a turn-on in a little movie called Pete and Tilly.
And the Four Seasons.
Pete and Tilly when Walter Matthau is playing the piano naked.
Of course, the real eye candy in the Four Seasons is Jack Webb.
Great, one of the great...
Oh, the fat guy, right. That's the guy that drives his Mercedes into the ice, right?
And shows his ass in the water.
One of the great lines out of a movie, Pete and Tilly, when Walter Matthau says, I'm going to take you to a restaurant, it's called Madam Lynn's Hanging Gardens, and they get to the restaurant and Gilbert says, where are the Hanging Gardens? And he goes, on Madam Lynn. And they go to a quick edit of this woman with these giant boobs. And then shortly thereafter, Walter Matthau was playing piano, sitting there naked, you could see his butt. I remember these things. I don't know how this came up when we were talking about getting pleasure out of McCall's magazine.
This is like therapy. These are repressed memories that we have, Mike.
It's amazing how you can recall the most insignificant moments of your life, but I can't remember people I went to college with, but I can remember moments like that movie when I really laughed out loud.
Or that magazine.
Carol Burnett.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, hi, Don, and my show. What's happening?
Hey, how you doing? Dale Earnhardt Jr. in his press conference today said 37 times he said what now.
You know what? Hold on a second.
ESPN... He said, what not, 37 times.
So, I would really love a tape because I watched the first 5 minutes of that, and I swear to God, he did say what not twice in the first 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
We got to get it.
I counted it. What he said the first time, I said, I got to count. He said it 37 times in 1 hour.
37 times. And it was really like the guy from King of the Hill because,
it was so funny. I was just thinking, I got to call Dynamite today and tell you guys.
Is this his mamo that he's, like, bolting ship for?
No,
the step mamo? No.
Yeah, it's Dado's second,
not his mother.
Right, and his mamo was at his press conference today.
Mm.
And,
I see.
He made a point of saying in between whatnot. He made a point of saying, I'm here on stage with my sister, and out there's my mamo and my grandma, and I wish everything whatnot the best for my evil stepmother who is staying behind. He went out of his way to say everybody in the family is here except the evil stepmother.
And the evil stepmother who would not give him 51% of the racing team.
He ended up saying that they both, it was so jive. What did he say? We both want to win. We just have different ways of arriving at that point.
Do you have any team without Dale Jr.? I mean, what do they have?
You've got the name. Are you kidding? You've got the name. You've got the name of Dado.
Earnhardt Racing? Is that what it's called?
DEI.
All right. But, I mean, isn't Earnhardt Racing Dale Jr., really, when you think about it?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the god. I mean, he's the one that everybody loves. He's not a guy that people, throw cans at when you want to race like Jeff Gordon. Right. It seems to me that she should have given him the 51% and, counted her money all the way to the bank.
I don't know. I don't know enough about NASCAR and all the dynamics of that soap opera to know if they got along when Dado was alive. And
I don't think they did.
I don't think they did.
I think that there's been... It's the whole, stepmother thing.
Well, Johnny, if we can get a tape of that, work on getting a tape of that of Dale Jr.'s 37 whatnots, my God, that's great listening. That's a good call by that guy.
That's terrific.
Ron and Teresa's relationship has always been very black and white, and very strict and, in your face. And it is what it is. It's not necessarily, it ain't a bed of roses.
What not?
You know. But I mean to tell you, he's the goddamn hottest free agent in NASCAR.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to sign him to drive your car, right?
I'd like to sign him up for the Don and Mike team.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
When Jan goes in for that colonoscopy, have her make sure and ask for the daddy stitch.
Right, okay.
Daddy. Wrong end, my friend.
Yeah, and it's not appropriate. That's a childbirth joke.
Wrong end. Wrong end.
Yeah, but in my experience, you don't need any extra stitches on that end.
I don't remember the last time that I had one, but I don't know if it was involved as it is for her. I know it's more involved for women, I guess. She has to be there very early. They're going to knock her out. I got to pick her up like 5 hours later.
Sure.
As I recall, it's more like a hit and run. It's like, if you're a guy, you go in there, they give you a Valium, and then they say, okay, get ready, here we go. Have you seen the movie?
The last one I had, they knocked me out. Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Deliverance? Mm-hmm. Ready, here we go.
Right. Well, the last time they knocked me out because the prior one that I had, I actually ran around the room pretending I was an animal with a tail.
The tail was the camera?
The tail was the camera.
I had one in December, and they did give me practically a general anesthetic.
Usually, they put you in what they call twilight, where you're half out.
I guess that's all it takes for me.
Yeah.
One Valium, half out.
Well, that's what they do. They've chosen to do that now, and I'm not quite sure why, because I've had them when I was fully conscious.
Because I know, I was telling Jan, I remember the last time I had one, I was laying on my side, and they actually were saying, look at the screen. Do you want everything looks great? So I was not out.
They're saying that eventually they're going to have a capsule that you can swallow
with a camera in the
with a camera in the capsule, cool. And they're going to get the like imaging that way.
No kidding.
You know, yeah, you know who's making that? Oh. IBM.
IBM's definitely on board with UPS.
Go Big Blue.
BM.
What has Brown done for you?
Dale Jarrett, Mike. UPS car.
Is he the UPS car?
UPS car.
Stop.
That.
No. We're back. Freeze.
No, actually, look at the clock.
Are we back?
We should break.
Are we back? Nobody said we were on.
We didn't quiz.
We didn't quiz.
Mike.
Yeah. Who's your agent?
Who's your agent? Yeah. Is he vigorous?
He's not vigorous.
Who did the cover for your book?
I got a nice advance to do a book about living in growing up in Brooklyn. I never liked stickball. Played it all the time. Wish I was taller. Wish my shoulder blades didn't touch at the back.
Where's your house?
Looking forward to breakfast. Yeah.
What? We're on the air?
Esther Newberg.
Well, we're on the air. Did someone say we're... Did you hear that we're on the air?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen a cue in years.
Hey, all I know is that we go to commercials... I'm convincing with the crew, and the next thing, that these damn does, we're on the air.
And it's got to be hilarious. Got to be hilarious. No one cued us.
At least you didn't curse.
We didn't curse. We're back.
These damn does.
And we're back.
Okay, now.
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Time to see what Katie Couric is up to.
Katie Couric's Notebook.
Hi, everyone. 6 years into his presidency, stupid George W. Bush can still surprise us. Tonight, he'll host his first white tie White House dinner, drunk, for Queen Elizabeth. Say what you will about Mr. Bush, retarded, but he's just a president known for his felony, the Iraq War. And he faces up to 30 years behind bars. Laura Bush, drunk, or said in a TV interview that some twisting was involved to get him to host the dinner with the chief twisters, being herself, Rudy Giuliani, and Condi Rice. Ugh. While a lot of attention will be devoted to this horror, Queen Elizabeth, I think the dinner is just plain disgusting. It shows that a president known for hate speech let all of us down. Maybe if the Democrats want to change the president's mind, they should talk to Laura Thronk for first. That's a page from my notebook. I'm Katie Couric, CBS News.
You know, she
goes into that dream sequence a lot.
She sure is opinionated when she's on the radio.
That's so gay.
They go together like blood and phlegm. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, cats, today we're giving away a trip to Las Vegas on the show.
Yay!
Great trip for two to the International Hooters Swimsuit Contest.
Wow.
Round Trip Air Hotel, Planet Hollywood Resort Casino. That's a great joint on Las Vegas. Plus a VIP seat at the regional contest. Oh, this Tuesday with Rob Spiewak at Hooters of Rockville.
Yeah! Rob likes it because he can walk through it.
Forget that last part.
He's not walking.
I mean, don't forget the last part. Visit WJFK.com for details.
What table are they...
The
regional table?
Table one. The way this is written, though, the prize is, I understand, Hooters wants their name mentioned. We love Hooters.
Sure.
Yeah. Great sponsor of the show. They're giving us a trip to Las Vegas for someone to go to the Hooters swimsuit contest.
Nice. You do.
That's convenient.
You know, that's in your brain. Those kind of things are in your brain.
No, I swear I didn't write it. Write it.
Anyway, we're giving away a trip to Las Vegas today.
Whose client is it?
Her. Oh, she gets all the money and all the clients.
She does. Why do you love her so much, Rob?
Same reason you do.
Michelle is one of our account executives here at the Radio Station.
Power broker.
You know what that was, boy?
What's that?
That was a good volley back at me.
Thank you.
That
was a good volley back. She's fun. Maybe she'll be there.
So are you going to be doing any kind of modeling at the at your Hooters thing?
Got a nice two-piece.
Anyway, trip to Vegas today. All expenses paid.
Wonderful.
Airfare, hotel, everything. We'll give it away. Play one of our Mother's Day games.
Wonderful.
Also, a quick reminder, Tom Bergeron will be on the show in the next hour. And we're going to get inside that giant skull of his.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bit of, not backpedaling, but have to be totally honest about this.
Yeah.
The article that I was reading about Tom Bergeron, where he's self-loathing, Janet mentioned to me last night. I said to her, why don't you do a quick search? And I said, I'm positive it was, like, in the L.A. Times weekend magazine when we were sitting at the pool on vacation. And she said, no, it wasn't. It was in the Globe.
Like, oh. And not the Boston Globe. It was in, like, the Globe.
The rag.
The tabloid. We lie about things, right. Globe.
Yeah. Gifford. But either way, I still believe all of those things about Tom Bergeron, that on many levels he hates himself.
I hope. We can only hope.
I
we can certainly present it to him that way. You know, do you in any way have feelings of
self-loathing? I don't think we should go right into the self-loathing. Maybe
we can ease into it.
Here's how I think we could ease into it. We said, hey, you don't seem to take yourself very seriously.
Sure. That's what we like about
That's
you.
How we'll get... And really...
How do you feel about your career? That would be one that, you know...
Have you seen The Globe recently?
How do you feel about... Tom, how do you feel about your career path?
Is there anything you loathe?
Like maybe yourself.
Well, for goodness sakes, look at this resume. I mean, he was a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was on Fox After Breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Star Trek Enterprise twice.
Right. As an alien.
And he co-hosted the Jerry Lewis thing.
Didn't Baltimore have a People Are Talking too? And he did a People Are Talking in Boston.
Yeah. So
here's the biggie. He hosted Lottery Live, nightly drawings of the Massachusetts State Lottery.
Oh, oh.
Revenues were way up.
He was very popular at it.
Good gig.
You know, thing is, since I read this thing, as I mentioned, I was not a regular viewer of Dancing with the Tards. I've watched it pretty religiously, at least.
That's coming down to the wire, too, right?
At least to see Tom Bergeron.
Yeah.
And even when dumb Billy Ray Cyrus got voted off the other night, maybe it's my skewered view of it, but I'm looking at it as Tom Bergeron laughing at the fact that he's up on TV with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Did you read this in here?
What?
That in September 96, his show became Fox After Breakfast. And the show ran for 1 year, eventually it became the Vicki Lawrence Show. After a number of cast changes. On that show, Bergeron played the Carol Burnett character in drag, while an aged Harvey Korman played himself.
Wow.
I didn't even read his
Sorry
file.
We missed that.
Wow.
There's an awful lot we can ask him about.
We'll have so much to talk with him about.
Before we even start getting into the self-loathing part.
When we love game show hosts. And he hosted Squares for years.
So anyway, Tom Bergeron, we'll talk to him. We'll talk to him in a couple of seconds.
Good.
Michael.
I'm here.
I hate to bring this to your attention.
Yes.
This is a good news, bad news thing.
Oh, God, I hate it when you look at me like that. I'm always filled with dread.
It's about Sacramento.
God. All right, lay it on me.
You know, after I had my sabbatical, after Frida passed away, I kind of made a rule that we've imposed on the show. Really, ratings come and ratings go.
Yeah.
And they are what they are. They're great, and they're awful, and they're halfway good, and they're halfway bad. Whatever. However, I must point out that this past ratings book in Sacramento was our highest rating in 11 years.
Wow. That's significant because we've had good ratings for that period of time.
Mike Ramey, the program director, sends in his email. All the demos, you don't need to know them. You know, the beauty pageant,
yeah.
25, 54, everything. He writes, this is the best book ever.
Wow.
So thank you, Sacramento. Yeah. See, I told you it was like a good news, bad news because...
You know, somebody was talking to you.
You're happy, but... You don't like Sacramento.
Somebody mentioned that to me briefly. So we had great ratings in Sacramento. You think maybe we should go out there and do a show? And I said, you know, it's been a long time, and I make a lot of fun of Sacramento, and I know Rob does too. But I think after all these years, it's been a very long time, and to celebrate this, no, we shouldn't go.
That's right.
We shouldn't go there ever. Ever again.
And Mike?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm talking to Mike Ramey now.
Mm-hmm.
Mike O'Mara is not kidding, so please don't call.
Yeah, don't call.
All right, anyway,
don't call.
Thank you very much, Northern California, yeah, for continuing to enjoy the show.
Right. And may I say to everybody, on behalf of the Don and Mike Show, everybody in Sacramento, whatever. They like it when you talk to them that way.
No dinner for you tonight, Sacramento. Even though you did good.
Right.
We still want to starve you.
Thanks so much to everybody I work with.
And sorry about the team leaving.
Yeah. And really, you know, that is going to be... Well, you know, I think the ratings will go higher when the Kings move to Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Because now we'll be really the only thing going on there. I mean, that'll be terrific. I think it'll be wonderful.
So you're saying as soon as the Kings leave, mm-hmm, our already stellar ratings will go up even higher.
You know what I'm going to do because of these ratings? I'll eat a little more asparagus this year. A little more asparagus than I normally eat.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike, Rob, Buzz. I just want to say from Sacramento, you are welcome.
Here it comes. You know what? It's funny that you said that. Did you say thank you to Sacramento, Don? Hold on, sir. I was talking to my radio partner.
I did.
Oh, you did. All right.
I did.
All right. So that's what
I know you think. Hello?
Yeah, well, we're here.
Hi!
No, we're not.
You're not.
Toodles. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Craig.
Hi, Craig. What's up?
Well, Billy Ray didn't get voted off. It was that mailman from Cheers that got
Cliff.
Voted off last
week. No, we're talking to Mr. How many weeks ago? Billy Ray. Hold on. John, how many weeks ago was that?
At least two.
Yeah, no, Billy Ray Cyrus got voted off last night or the night before.
From Dancing with the Stars?
Yes.
No, from Dancing with the Has-Been Country Artists.
Oh.
Oh.
Where are you calling from?
Lodi, California.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you stuck in Lodi?
No.
Lodi, California. No, Cliff Plavin was voted out 2 weeks ago, dude.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Darn it. He was good, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Him and that young kid.
Not too annoying hearing your radio up so loud in the background.
Mine?
Yes, F-Stick.
Mine is?
F-Stick says what?
I said Apollo's good, too.
Don't you have anything to do today in the middle of the day out there? It's the middle of the day. Don't you have? Is there anything, any function you have?
I got it. It's booger-eating time. Hello, Craig.
Just sit there, radio cracking on his porch.
It's 1 o'clock in Sacramento. It's booger-eating time. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Jay from Folsom in the air, Sacramento. I just say, kiss my ass. You deserve it. We love you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Get out of here. See you later.
Oh, God. Another call from somebody sitting out on their upholstered sofa on their deck.
You're the douchebag. You're the douchebag. We are not, we are sympathetic.
You know, you got that tape of Joe Krebs, Robbie?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, okay. Krebs?
Now.
The finest television personality known to mankind?
This guy is the weakest link of the weakest morning local news show in America. It's Joe Krebs and Barbara Harrison on Channel 4 here in D.C.
They've been doing it for 1 million years.
We've played a million tapes of these losers fumbling their way through the scripts, looking at the wrong camera, giving the wrong time check, the opening up the wrong story.
Every day when they go to their first cut-in from the Today Show, all they have to say is what kind of day it is and where the camera's pointed, and they still manage, and it's usually pointed at the airport.
It always is.
And they screw it up. You know, they'll say something, sunshine on the National Airport Day. Duh.
So this morning I'm watching it, and I hear something that appears to be an ad-lib by the anchor, Joe Krebs, which to me sounds
Joe Crypt.
So retarded. I called Rob and said, I can't believe what he just ad-libbed. And Rob said, we've been running tape on Channel 4 like we do every day. It's part of the script in the story.
Yeah.
So here is the story, and then listen to this is the build-up here. We have a subway system here in D.C. They call it Metro.
Right.
Great.
And for rating sweeps, all of the TV stations are running stories about how people are getting their iPods stolen on the subway.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was an ad-lib by Joe Krebs apparently was a part of the script. The way that they are asking people to make sure that they're okay is to
not wear the little earplugs.
The white cord earplugs that indicate you own an iPod.
Give away.
Instead, they want you to wear headphones.
Right.
To what? To indicate that you are wearing, that you're listening to a Walkman?
It's stupid. It makes no sense, I believe it was created in the newsroom.
Listen to this.
Police say the number of iPod thefts is on the increase. Police say thieves are increasingly targeting people with iPods because the music devices are so small and lightweight. They say you should keep iPods in your purse or your pocket. Police also recommend not wearing those white earphones, those buds. Instead, get headphones that do not give away the fact that you have an iPod.
Hold on a second. That struck me as so utterly moronic.
It is. Okay, it's not coming from the newsroom because it's coming from police. They're actually reading one of the requirements that the police are saying, don't wear the iPod headphones, wear the big headphones, like ours. That's
Look,
what they
we
want us
like,
to wear.
We're big DJ headphones. Mm-hmm.
But not only is that stupid to air once, that aired four times this morning.
That's because they have nothing going on outside of that like school board guy that was involved in a sex scandal.
See, I thought it was a Krebs ad lib until Rob said, no, listen, it's part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm Joe Krebs. He wouldn't ad lib. He couldn't ad lib his way out of a box.
Well, then who's the ass at the police or at the subway, the metro people, who said the best thing to do is to wear headphones?
Well, they gave statistics as far as how many iPods have been ripped off, and it's something like 30 so far this year. Last year, maybe two. So it's dramatically gone up, right?
32 all last year.
Yeah, 32.
30 so far this year.
So far this year.
And listen to the way that they describe it, as if they're talking to a room full of mongoloids
who've
never heard about the mini music player.
The number of iPod thefts is on the increase. Police say thieves are increasingly targeting people with iPods because the music devices are so small and lightweight.
Yeah. Then you notice now there's a fluff. Because I watch every fluff. If you play that back, you will hear lightweight is screwed up. He does not say light.
The number of iPod thefts is on the increase. Police say thieves are increasingly targeting people with iPods because the music devices are so small and lightweight. They say
it's
you should
lightweight
keep iPods
is what he
in
said.
Your purse or your pocket.
Okay, so keep iPods in your purse or pocket.
Right. Now, if Babs had had that story, she would have stumbled her way through it.
Police also recommend not wearing those white earphones, those buds. Instead, get headphones that do not give away the fact that you have an iPod.
And he's, I believe, always wanted to be a rock and roll disc jockey because those buds, yeah. I'm Krebs. Bah!
This is helpful to me, though, because normally when I bring my iPod on the subway, I put it unattended a few seats down.
Well, they say most of them are stolen that way from people that leave them behind.
Well, then they're not stolen.
They're lost.
But if you wear the giant headphones like the guys at the airport do, when they have the big cones and they're waving in the planes,
right?
How does that serve your purpose any better than just putting the little buds in?
I don't think it's going to do anything to prevent iPod theft. I think what you should wear is a helmet. A motorcycle helmet, you know, the same kind that you see the fat people wear when they're riding those big, those big motorcycles where they can communicate with each other. We got the I'm a stethoscope headphones. Those always worked. Remember when I tried those?
Yeah.
Those didn't work for me.
What is this tape? What's the Al Sharpton tape? Al Sharpton versus the Mormons?
Oh, he issues a statement about Mitt Romney.
Okay.
As for the one Mormon running for office, those that really believe in God will defeat him anyway, so don't worry about that. That's a temporary situation.
Burn.
Thank you, Reverend Al.
So Reverend Al has just said that Mormons do not believe in God.
Snap.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, that's what he said.
Two snaps up.
Mitt Romney. Mitt Seacrest. Mitt Cowell. Anybody that's got mitts.
Mitt Bergeron.
Mitt Roker. King of the Mitts. Mitt Flores.
Hold on. One more thing, Romney.
Mitt Coryell.
I know that we've got Tom Bergeron, but as long as we're on the topic of TV, after we talk to Bergeron, do you have those tapes of the Today Show audio?
Like six or eight of them.
I've played this for you before. When the Today Show cuts away for the local weather, if you're watching on a satellite feed, they don't cut away to local weather, and you hear Al Roker walking around, talking to people, yelling at people, singing, dancing. I think I played you one of those one time before.
Did you see any of the nauseating Today Show tribute to Ann Curry?
Mike, we've got the tapes right here.
Oh, God.
We've got the tapes right here.
Oh.
And we've also got the... How many of those cut-ins during the weather do we have?
Like eight.
We got eight of them?
Yeah.
And it's just raw Roker?
Sure.
Where are they?
Wonderful.
One through nine.
Okay. You know what, John? We'll get the Tom Bergeron just 1 minute late. So you're just one of them. So this is when they're going to the weather. And
so
they say,
all you see is the weather map.
Okay, now, and you hear Roker.
Here's what's happening in your neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. Okay. My God, how many of these? One, two.
Which is this number
nine,
one?
All the ones that say today audio.
Okay, well.
I think you put it in three.
Okay, here we go.
That's what's going on around the country. Here's what's happening in your neck of the woods. Let's go to Matt. Ladies and gentlemen, we always have to make sure our director, Joe Michaels, is awake. Could you please all say, wake up, Joe Michaels! Fan of Robin Williams, could you all please say Jumanji High Def Joe? Thank you. No. And some kids here from the Tippecanoe High School.
That's how it goes. You know, you got to psych yourself up for that kind of television, don't you?
You want to hear another one?
Yeah, I'd like to.
That's what's going on around the country. Here's what's happening in your neck of the woods.
Go to Meredith here.
Moochie. That's right. Oh, man. Our director wants your number.
Wow. Well, it's nice to hear that he keeps his energy level up even when he's off camera.
Yeah, well.
The amazing Al Roker.
That was early in the show. We've got nine of them today. They left the wild feed up all day today.
Good.
We've got a lot of those. We do have the stupid Ann Curry tribute to listen to this morning.
10 long years.
Yeah, the best they can do for this broad, you know, the Asian girl that does the news,
mm-hmm.
The best they can do is Elmo.
Yeah.
That's the celebrity to wish her a happy 10th anniversary. And it was Elmo via satellite. Because someone in New York couldn't come and put his arm inside the puppet?
She's loaded with the cliches, though, why she likes doing her job. Oh, yeah. She gets to tell the story.
Okay.
You know, the whole the journalism thing.
Ann Curry.
Right. Ann Curry, please. Ann Curry Rice. Gosh. Nice. Yes, Ann Curry.
So Elmo couldn't be here, but come on, take a walk over here. Because someone could be here.
Okay.
The special, oh, special guest.
I don't know what's going on.
No, that's you okay.
You know what? You
sit
right
there. Oh, hi. Oh, my goodness.
Hi.
Hi,
Ann.
Hi, how
happy,
are you?
Happy anniversary.
Now, this is worse than WTOP giving their newsroom a name of a pizza company.
Yeah.
This is the chick who is going to give you the news on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
The only celebrities they could find to give her 10th anniversary were Elmo, the puppet that was out of town.
Right.
And then they said, but hold on, because he wasn't here. Here's another puppet in studio.
Was it Cookie Monster?
Yes, it was.
Jesus.
They flew in Cookie Monster.
Suckfest.
That guy with Frank Oz underneath the desk.
Suckfest. Don't forget, if you're listening on the Metro, wear headphones.
Big, bulky ones. We'll and on one side, write I, and on the other side, write odd.
We'll be right back with the very tortured, we hope, Tom Bergeron.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Good Lord. Are you having a bowel movement or a baby? You know what a hemorrhoid is?
No.
Well, Google it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Greg.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Yes, sir!
Wham, bam, thank you, man.
Big, 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 bang, 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 bang.
This is big for us.
Big, 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 bang, 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 bang.
You're in for some excitement.
And what excitement we have today.
No stems, no seeds. Just Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Here we go now. On our big star hotline that hardly ever rings. There is the great Tom Bergeron. Hello, Tom.
Hello there. How are you?
And we're doing great. Tom Bergeron, everybody.
Yeah, Tom Bergeron, broadcaster extraordinaire.
Tom Bergeron.
I do what I can.
You do.
Tom Bergeron. This is Don speaking.
Hello, Don.
As my friend Mike.
How do you do, Tom?
My friend Mike.
I want to tell you why I am so enamored with you.
Oh, all right.
This is very serious now. You seem to have a quality about yourself where you don't take your position, your job, being on TV, quite as seriously
as some other people in your position do.
I think that's a fair statement, yeah.
I believe that maybe I'm in the minority here. I read between the lines on Dancing with the Stars. I see you standing up there with the microphone on one hand. It's the number one show on ABC. On the other hand, I see a man who's standing next to Billy Ray Cyrus and wondering, what am I doing here?
Well, you know, no, I wouldn't go that far, wondering what I'm doing here. That probably was what Billy Ray was wondering a couple of times. But I honestly love the show. I mean, it's for me, live television is the ultimate, and there's so little of it available. I think pretty much you only find it on American Idol and Us, and then local news, and that's about it for live TV or you know, some network news shows.
You seem to approach everything you do, and we've all seen you with Hollywood Squares, and we've seen you with the videos. You seem to have a kind of a tongue-in-cheek approach to everything, though. And,
clearly. Yeah. I mean, you know, look, on America's Funniest Videos, which I call the annuity because it just keeps going, you know, I'm introducing clips of largely of people getting whacked in the genitals or falling off of trampolines. You can't take that too seriously. And on Dancing with the Stars, while I certainly take seriously the effort and the commitment that the couples are putting into the competition, the fact that we're, you know, standing under two massive mirrored balls and chandeliers and, you know, ballroom dancing to my darling Clementine done like a rock opera, you know, I mean, obviously, you've got to know that there's a certain wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know what I mean.
Okay,
know what I mean.
Case closed. My theory on Tom Bergeron was correct.
Do you want to get into it? Do you want to get into it with
right
here?
Not right now.
Okay.
Wait a minute. What's that?
I had been a fan of yours for a while.
Thank you.
And was on vacation recently and read something. I don't know which tabloid it was in, if it was in the Globe. Anyway, it was a thing about all these game show hosts.
Yes.
And it had Tom Bergeron, and right on top of it, it's self-loathing.
And, of course, as soon as we ever hear self-loathing, we are so totally self-loathing on this show.
Looking in a mirror.
That even, right. we wanted to find out whether it was true or not, because if indeed it is true, you've endeared yourselves. Is there any bit of you, Tom Bergeron, that is self-loathing? Please say yes.
Not really.
No. Summer every summer.
At any time in your career, did you have feelings of self-loathing?
Look, here's the thing. I think we all go through, yes, in the course of a day, periods of self-loathing.
Very
good. I certainly wouldn't call that a dominant part of my personality by any stretch.
To be honest, I think in the article, they were taking things you said, like what you just said, smart-ass, half-true, half-false stuff, like about Dancing with the Stars. And they had all of these other game show hosts that were talking about, you know, the serious business of being a game show host.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the odd man on the page. Like,
I see.
Like, oh, yes. And then there's Tom Bergeron.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. But I don't think that.
But I love that about you,
comments,
Tom.
Mean yourself. You're engaged in self-loathing. I think it means you have some perspective about. Okay. What you do in the context of world events. I mean, my God, I emceed a tic-tac-toe game. I introduce crotch hits and mix it up with British judges. I mean, let's keep it in perspective.
Okay, Tom, and you know, really, guys, isn't that what I pretty much came back and told you what the essence of the article was?
Right.
So they were taking really what you had said, apparently, to somebody.
Sure, right.
And just spun it a little bit. That's okay. It's an attitude that I find highly refreshing, just to know that in some circumstance, when I'm watching Dancing with the Tards, that you're at least winking at me going, like you said, come on, this is kind of goofy, but
I know how goofy it is.
But we're all caught up in it.
We're all caught up in it. Like the other night was the Monday night show was the absolute, my absolute favorite of recent shows because all hell broke loose. You know, Bruno accidentally called Billy Ray's dance crap, and he immediately felt terrible about it. There was a computer mishap. There was all kinds of stuff. We had Muhammad Ali in the audience, which was incredible.
That was a great touch.
But it was, for me, live television at its best because things were coming a little unglued, and it was up to me to kind of just, with humor and, you know, with that sort of awareness about how silly it is on some level, that we're all getting so worked up here, to just kind of bring it back to, you know,
do you find on that show, Dancing with the Stars, that the people that take it the right way, the people that perhaps don't take it so seriously, have a better chance to perform better because
Absolutely.
They take some pressure off themselves?
Absolutely. I think you have to have fun with it. I mean, let's look at our cast right now.
Well, Tom,
final four.
Isn't that how Billy Ray made it this far?
Yeah, I mean,
really
he's going to locate.
So. Right? In all honesty, I think Billy Ray had the attitude, look, I'm not a real, I can't dance really, but I can bring, you know, enthusiasm and energy. And he was there. I got to give him credit. He spent hours rehearsing. I mean, obviously there wasn't that much evidence of it, but, but he did. Now, and you look at Joey and Layla and Apollo, and they're having fun out there. Ian, who technically can dance, is having a little bit more trouble, and I think he'd admit this, sort of keying into the sheer joy of it. So it looks like he's working at it, which I think if you're a viewer, you kind of respond more easily to people who look as if they're just having fun.
When you're getting these stars to participate in this show, it would seem to me to be very difficult to find, you know, the type of person that wants to do this. When you're getting people, the stars, to participate,
right?
Do they have a fascination with dance? Are they doing this on a dare? How do you get people coming to you? I mean, how do you go out and find these people? Because it would seem to me a little more difficult than some of the other reality shows that one sees on television to get people to participate in this. How do they come to you?
Well, I think you touched on several things. So in some cases, it's a dare. In other cases, you know, we're four seasons in, and clearly people have looked at the show in the business and said, you know, my career's at a certain point, and I think this show could certainly pop my visibility even more. And that's the true result of being on the show for a number of people. And also, it's a challenge. It's outside of their comfort zone. And I think all of us who like to think that we're not dead yet like to challenge our preconceptions of who we are and what our comfort zone is. And this is the ultimate challenge for these people because they're doing it on live TV every week and you get to see it warts and all.
So when they came to you with the premise over 4 years ago,
Well, actually it was only 2 years ago.
Four seasons, 2 years ago. Yeah, right. You speak in TV time.
Right.
When they came to you 2 years ago and there are all these reality shows and people already started to get burned out on them, What is it besides the paycheck that made you say, okay, you know, I'll stamp my name on this show and I'll be, for better or worse, I'll be known as the Dancing with the Stars guys for a while?
Well, you know, at first I was probably as skeptical as a number of the people at the network were until I got a copy of the British show that is sort of the mothership of all the Dancing with the Stars around the world.
I didn't know that.
Another one of the British
imports.
I didn't know that from Britain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, there are Dancing with the Stars shows in a number of countries. It started in England with a show called Strictly Come Dancing, which is a bit of an unwieldy title, but it's basically the same show. And I saw this DVD, and I grew up watching variety shows on television and loving them, and they don't exist anymore, really, except ours and Idol. And that appealed to me. And the fact that even on the British show there was a certain sense of humor about it. And it was live and it had a reality show element. And you gotta remember, at that time I thought I was just signing on for a 6 week summer gig.
Mm-hmm.
I had none of us had any idea. We certainly had hopes that it would take off, but you know, in this business, who knows?
And Tom, thank God for High Def, because I mean, listen, as a heterosexual man, I enjoy seeing those dancing ladies.
Oh man, those dancers, unique bodies.
Oh baby,
they're incredible.
They've got different. I mean, they're different looking than your average model. They have these athletic but yet runway model type bodies, and
right.
I bet they smell good too, don't they?
Hey Tom, I won't offer the obvious. We have a game that we play on the show a lot called Who Would You Do, where we offer up two different people. Which one would you have relations with?
Okay, and this is we have to accept that my wife is giving me a pass on that.
This is nothing about. Although we'd be glad to ask you some of those questions too. This is about TV.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Looking back, American Idol is its own phenomenon.
Sure.
Your show is its own phenomenon, slightly below that. All things being equal, if they came to you, deal or no deal, could you have seen yourself sliding into that? Which job
when they offered it to you 2 years ago, do you think you would have thought would have been a bigger hit? Deal or No Deal or your show?
Well, I don't know. I never know what's going to be a hit or not. But I would have chosen Dancing with the Stars because it was live.
Okay. And as far as labor intensive, you know, when you look at the, you know, the things that we would know you for, whether it's the funniest videos or Hollywood Squares or Dancing with the Stars, which one of those shows requires the most of you?
In terms of time,
time commitment.
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars, because we're live twice a week, and I'm involved in script meetings and some of the pre-production work.
You don't dance yourself, do you, Tom?
I did season two with Ashley Del Grosso after she finished up with Master P. she and I did a quick step on one of the results shows.
I didn't know that. I missed that one.
You can actually see it on YouTube if you type my name in on YouTube.
Tom, as long as you're on the phone and we brought up the topic, here's a quick one. Who would you do? Lindsay Lohan? Or who's another one of those skanky girls? Or Paris Hilton?
I have to choose one?
Yes, yes. It's just a little game.
Well, you know, I'm married to a redhead, so I gravitate towards redheads.
That's a Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan.
She changes her hair color occasionally, but that's you know, it's neither here nor there.
When you were on the show that you had on Fox, and then it became the Vicki Lawrence show, what was it like dressing up and being Carol Burnett?
Huh?
What was it like dressing up and? Well, didn't we read that, Mike?
That's what it's in his bio. I'm reading it right here. We're going to.
Oh, I know. You went on Wikipedia.
Yeah. Oh, Wikipedia.
You went on Wikipedia.
Oh, no.
It doesn't have to be real.
It doesn't have to be real.
Is that
here.
A retarded producer?
That's completely a retarded producer.
It says it became Fox After Breakfast. That's true, right?
That's true.
You did that since it aired later in the morning, the other network morning programs. The show ran for 1 year on Fox, eventually became the Vicki Lawrence show.
At which point I was gone.
Oh, you were gone.
I had left.
Oh, see, now there's where they throw the Wikipedia stuff in. Right. On that show, Bergeron played the Carol Burnett.
I read that. I thought it was hilarious. A friend of mine told me you got to log on to Wikipedia and see your bio. So I just left it there. I thought it was so funny. Okay. I figured no one would take it seriously, but clearly I didn't count on YouTube.
You're very right about that.
You know, Dancing with the Stars is not a game show, but you know, you do probably, if you're going to categorize you kind of fall into that game show host
reality show. Yeah.
But and you're wonderful on Hollywood Squares, and I've always thought, as far as broadcasting is concerned, that doing a game show has to be one of the most satisfying jobs, most fun jobs in broadcasting.
I remember when I was in Boston doing a daily talk show, and Pat Sajak was my guest, and I asked him about that very thing, and he said, imagine this, you come to work in jeans and a t-shirt, and you go into your dressing room, and there's a suit hanging up. You put on the suit, you go out and tape the show, you come back, drop the suit on the floor, there's another suit hanging up. So, you know, we do, and Pat does as well, you do 5 shows in a day, so we do a whole week's worth. As a matter of fact, some months ago, I shot a week's worth of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, filling in for Meredith Vieira.
Nice.
And that airs, I think that airs starting Monday.
You know, now I'm listening to you.
You're a hot commodity right now, Tom.
You're not a self-loather. That was a total misrepresentation.
Yeah, but you got to remember, it's simply a guy with a tabloid.
Yeah, you're a guy with a little caustic bit of self-deprecation.
You know, in this era of everything, we get the internet era. There is so much disinformation out there.
I'm very disappointed
that he didn't dress up as Carol Burnett, and I'm a little disappointed that you're not filled with a little more self-loathing.
Don't you just dislike yourself, Tom? Hey, Tom, I hate myself. Do you hate yourself?
I hate myself more than anything.
See, Tom, we're not holding up to ridicule. Don't you just dislike yourself a little bit?
At certain points in the day, sure.
Yeah, like,
well, let's not to belabor the point here, Tom, but let's say, what is something that you don't like about your physical appearance?
Oh, now mine.
Well, I'm a shade over 5'9". I wouldn't mind being taller.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, taller. That's not bad. That's not bad. Personality trait that you perhaps would change if you could.
Let's see. Sometimes a little too sarcastic for my own good.
No, that's wrong.
Disagree.
You've got to be more sarcastic.
Oh, well, I'm talking in private life now.
Have you ever knowingly harmed an animal, Tom?
Well, I had a fillet the other night.
Oh, that doesn't count. How about people that you've looked up to in the broadcast business? Everybody's got their role models. Everybody's got their broadcasters that they say, I'd like to be just like him. Any in your life?
Well, not so much that I'd like to be just like them, but their work ethic I like. Carl Reiner is a friend whom I met first when I was in Boston, and he was on a book tour. And I used to love, you know, as a kid, I watched The Dick Van Dyke Show and thought this was like the ultimate sitcom. And Reiner's goes back to the days of Sid Caesar and Your Show of Shows, and just is a veteran of television history, and we've become friends, and that's a friendship I really cherish.
I would so kick your ass at Dick Van Dyke trivia. I'm a mental patient about that show, too.
Are you really?
Very seriously.
I got to tell you, one of my favorite memories in the business, a couple years ago, they did that Dick Van Dyke reunion show, and I went and I was on the set while they shot it, and at one point, Dick Van Dyke and I were just sitting off to the side while something else was being blocked, and he started telling me about the time he met Stan Laurel.
Wow.
And he said he just looked up Stan Laurel's name in the Santa Monica phone book, and it was there. And he called him, and Stan knew who Dick was from the show, and he invited him over to have lunch, and it was just this amazing thing for Dick. And I said to him at that point, I said, you got to understand that the equivalent for me is right now.
Yeah, I bet he liked it. He's a class act, isn't he?
He is. Very class act. Great guy. And incredible energy on the set, because they didn't shoot it the same way they did the series. They did it over a few days. It was more like a family reunion kind of thing, and they shot it in segments. But he always had great energy and was always entertaining the crew and all of us who were hanging out there.
Hey, Tom, let's do one last thing. Let's do a mind melt. I have just written down my two favorite Dick Van Dyke episodes of all time. Let's see if you can match. If you're truly a Dick Van Dyke aficionado, what are your? Let's see if you can get one out of two.
Well, I don't know the episodes' names, but I'll
neither
tell you
do
the,
I.
The plot.
Okay.
The one where they weren't sure they had the right baby from the hospital.
Oh no, that was not one of my favorites.
And
they brought back the black baby from the hospital. Right.
Well, no, they didn't bring back. They didn't think they had the right baby, and at the end of the show, the parents that they thought had their baby show up, and it's Greg Morris, and that was the reveal.
And he's black.
Okay.
And that at that time, you got to remember, 1962 or three, that was a major thing.
All right, come on, Ed. Can I tell? Let me put you. I was going to tell the audience what my other choices are. And
well, let me give you my second choice. It was the one where he had the dream, and there were all the almonds in the closet.
Walnuts!
It's a match.
Walnuts had it! I thought the two best, Tom, were the walnuts episode and the episode where
Laura, that's right, it was walnuts, right.
And where Laura Brady goes on, Laura Petrie goes on the talk show and says that Alan Brady has a toupee.
Oh, yeah.
On the game show.
Wonderful. That's a wonderful one, yeah.
On the game show.
Now, here's a little bit of trivia on that walnut thing. I don't know if you knew this, but, you know, the cast was eating these walnuts. There were so many walnuts on the set, and they all had gas. And the scene where Rob opens the closet door and all the walnuts come out and Laura's on the top of them.
Yes.
She said when she slid down, she farted.
That is a good insight.
But luckily, the sound of the laughter covered it.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Christ. Tom Bergeron, I was right about you. You're a good guy.
Oh, thanks.
You really are. It's been a pleasure to chat with you.
Same here.
Sorry you don't hate yourself a little bit more. But
I'll work on that.
Please. And then hopefully you can come visit us again, and maybe you'll be more self-loathing when you come and visit us again.
I will. I'll go look in the mirror right now and make loathing faces.
The great Tom Bergeron, Dancing with the Stars, Monday and Tuesday nights on ABC.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for your time, dude.
Take care, guys.
Very nice talking.
Bye-bye.
Same here.
But the you know, we have to be very careful about the Wikipedia, don't we?
Yeah.
We
nice really job, do. Johnny.
Thank you.
I mean, it was good getting him on the show and all.
Oh, I really feel like an ass because I'm the first one that read it to you. What, John?
What was that?
I said I had to screw up something, otherwise you guys would be disappointed.
See, now, you want to talk about
Johnny
a guy
Gorman.
That is filled with self-loathing.
Hi there.
Hi there. Well, look at him.
He might be the poster boy for self-loathing.
Take a look at him.
Truly.
Nice poster.
I think he's awesome.
All right, Bergeron. He was good. He was
nice. Really nice good. To talk to
I like having him on the show. Now let's give away a trip to Las Vegas.
Yeah, baby.
And, of course, it's the most overhyped, oversold holiday, made-up holiday of the year.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to you mothers out there, but...
You mothers.
You know, we've all been on the other side of it.
Yeah.
My God. Well, tomorrow we can start our entire discussion about the overload that is Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
But being as it is Mother's Day weekend, it's a good chance to pull out an old favorite. What my mamo doesn't know won't hurt her.
You know, there's something about not telling your mom something. It just... it's more special than any of the other dirty little white trash secret games that we play on this show.
Now, listen, we're giving away the trip to Las Vegas.
And I don't want to get in trouble when I say white trash. We are an equal opportunity player.
Sure.
Anyone of any race can play this game.
We'll take black trash.
Yes, black trash.
Yellow trash.
Hispanic trash. Anyone that wants to play can play this game.
Cream-colored trash.
Yes. Asian trash.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
But we also should say when we play these games, we will all have our crap detectors firmly in place.
Sure.
Thank you.
We really Rob Spiewak. Because when you think beautiful women in sexy outfits competing, you think Rob Spiewak.
Laugh if you will. It's my third year. It's the best gig of the year.
you're self-hating.
Yeah, I hate
your brain has a self-hating shell.
Hate me, hate the contestants, hate everything.
So the game is, what my mother doesn't know won't hurt her, and it's real simple to call. You call us, it's simple to play. You call us and you tell us something that your mom doesn't know.
Yes, this can be a variety of things, but usually we get the extra credit for the length of time that has passed since you held this little secret from your mommy.
And what we do is we'll listen to your calls and we'll select the best one. And then we call your mom live on the radio and you fess up to her and just tell her what it is that she did not know. And then when she either smothers you with kisses or gets mad at you or whatever the reaction, you win the trip to Las Vegas.
Yes, you're going to Vegas, baby.
Call and tell about the time you put the false information on Wikipedia.
About your mother dressing as Carol Burnett.
All right, so the number is 877-365-3636. The game is What My Mother Doesn't Know Won't Hurt Her.
An American classic, Don.
That sound, Mike? You hear that sound? That is Walmart across America emptying right now.
Yes, people are scurrying to their telephones right now.
Now, do you feel the vibration in the floor? You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
That's the sound of everybody running back into their trailers to call the show right now.
Oh, did you hear that thud? Like 3,000 people simultaneously dropped their chocolate pies.
Just a bunch of white trash.
That's right.
So it's time for ye to call the show.
Come on, ye. It's more fun than playing the lottery.
And your chances are better.
Your chances are better. Significantly better.
Way to target the audience.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've sold it as best as we can.
This might make you feel better about Dale leaving the racing team.
877-365-3636. We'll take your mama's calls in a moment. Thank you again, Tom.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Danville Success Station, WOFF Radio with a Reason. And now, clue number 37 in this week's famous name contest. Folks, that jackpot is now up to $17. All you gotta do is catch that clue to collect that cash. So here it is, clue number 37 in this week's famous name contest. This famous person is responsible for an act associated with this sound. That's it, gang. Stay tuned now for the WOFF 5 p.m. news. The station that informs you, if you haven't heard it here, it hasn't happened yet.
Don and Mike Show.
That's Dick Van Dyke.
My favorite Dick.
Stay tuned now, folks, for the Edward E. Edwards Show, coming to you over WOFF, the station with...
Yeah.
I love that episode.
Irreplaceable. Don and Mike.
Right. If it's human waste, save some for me.
Uh-oh.
Jungle.
Let's open up the phones. 877-365-3636. Trip for two to the International Hooters Swimsuit Contest. Round trip air, hotel at Planet Hollywood and casino.
Vegas, baby.
I love that song. Baby.
What my mother doesn't know won't hurt her.
I think we're going to have a great time and whatnot.
Phones are jammed.
Sure. They are.
Oh, and we've got the Dale Jr. tape. His press conference today.
Good.
We really, the guy on the phone was not lying. The press conference went 57 minutes.
Okay. Difficult subject for Dale Jr., you know, leaving his racing team.
He did say whatnot. Our caller was correct 37 times.
That's the record.
Tomorrow we will have the entire thing. But if the guys in the back room are going to cut it up now, it almost might sound like this. Like,
dumbass.
Or, I'm sorry. Like, where's whatnot? Hold on.
Quatnot.
What we've got to do is take the time to get each whatnot in context.
In its sentence, in its proper sentence.
For instance, when he says something like, I wanted to do this for a long time and...
Quatnot.
I can't wait.
In the next one. That's the best way to do it, as opposed to, you know, you blaze through them too quickly. You want to put them in context.
If it's just whatnot, it doesn't make the point.
I think it'll have more legs if we include the sentences.
So now it's time for us to continue with the contest. And
whatnot.
Let's
be aware, though, if you're calling to play the contest and you use that word,
right,
it's an automatic disqualification.
Immediate.
We won't have any contestants to do that.
Mike, how is my crap detector, my lord?
It's wonderful. I'm prepared for it. You've given me plenty of advance notice. I'm ready to not believe.
Let's get right to these calls. Hello there. Don
Hello.
And Mike Show. Hi, what's your name?
Mine's Kyle.
Kyle, where are you from, friend?
Wichita, Kansas.
Now, Mike, you can't not believe him already.
I do. I'm sorry. I hate to say that, but no.
Hi, bud.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, even though that name, you know.
Kyle?
Kyle.
Yes, sir.
I somehow remember we've had problems with Kyles before.
Kyle? Kyle,
yes,
what is it that your mamo doesn't know?
Well, I am recently unemployed, and I moved back into my mother's house. And I've had a girlfriend of a year. And
hold on, you've had a girlfriend every year?
Of a year. And I've been sneaking her into the house at night so she can stay over with me. My mom is very strict as far as those kind of rules go.
How old are you?
24.
All right, a big pussy says what?
Bye!
Goodbye, Kyle. I knew you were trouble.
Grow a set, please.
And we actually raid the refrigerator, and we take some of Mamo's cookies when she doesn't know it when I sneak her in the door.
And Mamo, I kissed her Daisy.
In our house!
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Who's this, please?
This is Joe from Rochester, New York.
Hi there, Joe. What's happening? Joe, what is it that your mom doesn't know?
Well, see, the thing is, my mom would always hide the Christmas gifts every year. Every year she'd hide them in her closet. And then finally she got smart and she would lock the door to the bedroom.
Yep.
So what I would do then, one time I had a friend over and I didn't have any two-player games for my GameCube, and I knew that my mother was going to be buying me a GameCube game.
How old are you, 40?
I'm 22.
22.
22.
Wasn't GameCube just out like 4 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, he's old enough where, yeah. So I think we're going on the same thing.
You're 18 and you're talking about your mommy buying you a toy when you're 18?
Well, see, the thing is, Don, I would 007 it.
Wait, hold on. Joe, was your mamo hiding the gifts from you when you were 18?
Okay, I was probably like 16 at the time.
Was she still hiding the gifts from you?
Oh, no, we don't live together anymore. My parents are divorced.
Uh-huh. Rob, that's not nice.
Cruel, Rob. All right, so let's get to the meat of your story, please.
Okay, so I would sneak out of my window, and I'd climb around to the front of the house on the roof, risking my life.
Yeah.
And I would take a pen, and I'd poke in the screen and lift open those prong things on the screen. And then the window, of course, was unlocked, so I went in there. And I went in there into the closet, and I found the game, and I took a razor blade and made a slight incision across the bottom, pulled out the case.
Well, hold on a second. What you're describing
is... He's finding the present, something an eight-year-old would do.
I swear to God, Mike, I was just going to say, I swear to God, eight-year-old.
Unacceptable.
When you were on the roof, did you have to battle ferocious unicorns?
Bye!
Now, this is why we do this game in more than one segment,
uh-huh.
Because we always start... with a bunch of really lame ones.
That was Joe from Rochester. Joe who refuses to grow up.
And the window was unlocked, so I knocked in the window.
I'm sorry about that, but I had a real epiphany yesterday. Every once in a while, would you say something where I said, hey, you know, we have that thing, we've been together so long.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say at the same moment, exactly. That's what an 8-year-old does.
Yeah, that's, I mean, really, don't
everybody
you think
does that.
14, 15, you kind of back off a little bit from the gift hiding, you know? And I mean, if they find the gift, c'est la vie.
And even if you're sophisticated enough at 14 to figure out with a razor blade how to open up your Game Boy.
Right.
Well, like we're going to give you a trip to Las Vegas because of that?
I was hoping that it would be, you know, and I'm up on the roof and, you know, I took heroin and then I went in the window.
Yeah, Game Boy.
Game Boy.
Now I'm listening.
There's, that's a good secret.
Hello there.
Ta-da.
It's you, sir. Hello, it's you.
That game, of course, Donkey Kong. Hello, it's Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. Who's this?
This is Andrew.
Andy, where are you from?
I am actually living right now in Maryland.
All right, Big A. Who is your mom? What's her name? I'm sorry.
My mom's name is Sandra.
A little sleep deprived today.
How old are you, Andrew?
I am 28.
All right, what is it Momo doesn't know, Andrew?
She didn't know that I was a swinger for quite a while.
Tell us, A-Rod, what's going on?
My last girlfriend, my current wife, my fiance doesn't know this right now.
Okay, Dice.
Either, but I was a swinger and I had a few orgies in between there.
A-Bomb, why would you want to tell this to your mom?
Don't you think this is going to upset Sandra?
It serves no purpose. That if you were in orgies, first off, did your mom ask? What is this? Rob, I know A-hole is the last one. Of course, A-hole.
It doesn't matter to her. I don't know.
It doesn't matter to her?
Gets me to Vegas, I don't care.
Right. See, the game is what my mom doesn't know won't hurt her. I don't think your mom would be terribly upset that you had sex with a variety of people, right? You're a grown man.
Oh, absolutely.
Was this in your mother's house?
No, not.
Oh, well, then.
Bye!
If it was in your mother's house when they were upstairs sleeping.
So lame.
Yes. Christmas present.
Poor Sandra.
Hello, John and Mike show.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Go have some A1 sauce, though. Hello, who's this?
This is Brian.
Where are you from, Brian?
I'm from Westminster, Maryland.
Right on. What is it that your mom doesn't know, sir?
When I was about 18, I'm 22 now, I was having sex with my girlfriend in my kitchen, thinking my mother wasn't home.
Yeah.
And, she came in the garage door, so we quickly,
Wow, how'd you clean that up?
Back on. And, there was a little bit of juices and, other things left on the counter.
Hold on.
My mom.
Hold on, there was evidence. He said there was evidence.
Hold on. Slow down. Let me reset here.
Okay.
So you're getting on with your
garage door open and closed, and there was some leftover things on the counter.
Gotcha.
Evidence of our parts.
Yes.
And my mom walked upstairs, and we had just gotten all of our clothes back on, but we neglected to see all of the stuff that was still on the counter.
All of the babies you killed.
Yes, the children were on the counter, and my mom happened to wipe over the counter and say, "Hey guys, what's this?"
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty strong.
That's
defender,
very
Mike.
Strong to the net.
You know what that is? That's original. That's believable.
Mm-hmm.
You're a finalist, my friend.
Yeah.
Hold on, Brian.
Okay.
Hold on a second, friend.
And mom was none the wiser.
She had no clue, and I've been mortified for like 4 years. I'm like nervous telling you guys this story.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to go to Vegas.
I mean, you would have been
It'd be horrible.
Guaranteed winner.
I would have killed her.
Do you think that? Oh, this is so nasty. This is so very, very nasty. Are you still with the young lady in question?
No, I have a different girlfriend, and she's also listening on the radio.
Okay.
Right before I called you guys, she called me, so I barely got the story to her before I told you guys, and that's one that I don't think anybody knows except now all the listening audience.
All right, hold on, Brian. Hold
one
on
last
a second.
Question. Brian?
Yes.
Is your mom hot?
My friends, I'm in a fraternity at Towson, and they all seem to think that she's hot.
Hello. Makes
not
it even better.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Is your mom hot as balls?
I don't really know, but my friend Steve.
Yeah, it's impossible for a guy to say that about his mother, but at least he's saying that his frat brothers think so. So,
all right, hold on, Brian. You're a finalist, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
That's a good one. Now, let's see if everyone out there can raise their game to this guy's level.
Let's see what happens.
This guy, thus far, is the Tiger Woods of this game.
Yeah, very, very good.
Came
so
with
far.
His A game today.
Brian from Westminster, ready to play.
Mike, who are the ones that we got rid of there?
That would be Kyle. We got as far as the fact that he was unemployed and he had a girlfriend. Then there was Joe from Rochester. I don't even know what Joe had to say, but we dumped him very quickly. And there was Andrew with Sandra. One of these guys had that incredibly dangerous story about finding the hidden Christmas gifts by climbing in a window.
I don't know. One of the guys like had an orgy.
Yeah, one guy had an orgy, but that was Andrew, I think, and he had an orgy at his house, so he's swinging
up.
And, his mother doesn't involve it. I think he's 28, so it doesn't really matter anymore. And then Brian, of course, sex with a girlfriend on the kitchen counter. Mom came home and swabbed the counter down. None the wiser.
What glorious goo.
That's a strong one. And Mom happens to be hot, too.
Wiped it on her jeans after she,
on her jeans.
After she smelled it.
Yes.
Sure. Folks, that is a hard one to beat.
It sure is.
Let's see if we have
difficult.
Any contenders or pretenders when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, that's a wonderful trick. I wonder if everyone knows that trick in porno film.
Mm.
You see all these porno films, you know.
Yeah, you do. I know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, you hear about them, especially if you're staying in a hotel.
Right, that's where you hear about them.
Yes,
hotel.
Like something liquid this way comes, and you see all these cowboys, and they're lassoing each other.
Where is that?
It's in this hotel that I heard a friend of mine who said he went to a hotel once and saw that film. That would have been weird, and had they known that testicle resting gimmick.
Well, that's more of a professional actor thing, really.
If you listen to them, you owe them Don and Mike.
Right, right.
Wham, bam, thank you, man.
Our top winner in the showcase is Gay.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Don't never, ever trust Whitey.
Bang, 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 bang.
Shut up! Hi. We're back.
Did I hit the rejoiner thing?
They can cure the itch in your ditch.
There we go.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
What about the vagina?
Exactly. Let me see. God, we've had a busy show today.
Sure have.
We've never heard... We'll get right back to your calls. We still have not heard the incredible J.O. for Ann Curry, the newsreader.
10-year anniversary, Ann.
On the Today Show. And we've also not heard all of the tapes of Al Roker during the local forecast break.
Yeah, when he's not on the air and he's just being Al Roker.
On the Today Show, we've got 10 of them from today's Today Show.
And it's fascinating because, anytime somebody's not on the air, it's like we're sneaking a peek.
Here's just a very quick listen to some of these, to one of them. We'll get back to it later. The setup is this, that when Al Roker says, now, here's what's happening in your neck of the woods.
Right. He's working the crowd because he's outside, but he's not formally on the air.
They cut away to a local forecast, and if you're watching on DirecTV, on the network feed...
Right.
They don't cut away for anything, so you just hear the microphone open and Al Roker walking around in the crowd.
Right.
So, here it is.
That's what's going on around the country. Here's what's happening in your neck of the woods. Jim? Joe? Me? Mark? Jim Bell, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Bell, the heart of the Ghostbusters.
Local style.
That's right. Jim Bell does Sinatra. And that's your latest weather. Meredith.
That's the way it is.
How great is that?
That's what cool. You get to hear.
We got about 10 of those. We'll fly through them at some point. But let's get back to the calls now.
Very good.
What my mom doesn't know won't hurt her, just in time for Mamo's Day. Playing for a trip for two to the International Hooters Swimsuit Contest, including round-trip airfare hotel at the Planet Resort, Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino.
That's a nice location.
And a VIP seat at the regional contest Tuesday.
A VIP seat?
Yeah. At the regional contest Tuesday with Rob Spiewak and WJFK FM for details. Now let's take calls.
You can sit right next to Rob.
Get there early, kids. 877-365-3636. We have one call that's good thus far.
That would be Brian from Westminster, who had relations with his girlfriend, and, well, there's evidence, and yeah,
we've already been warned that from now on, the stuff will be known as evidence.
Evidence.
The evidence.
Evidence?
That she wiped on her jeans.
Right.
Let's see if there's anything better out there. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who's this?
Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy. Where are you from?
Solomon's Island.
What is it that your mama doesn't know, Jeremy?
Well, this is back in high school. Me and my buddies, we got off of school and we were sitting around the house by ourselves. We were all sitting around smoking some pot or whatever. And we had this...
Very close to whatnot.
Dangerously close.
We had this syringe in one of the drawers that you used to inject dogs, like giving them shots and stuff.
Wait, hold on a second. I don't think your average family, Jeremy,
has syringes for dog
injections that are hanging around.
Right. Well,
would you do your own veterinary work on your dog? How many dogs did your family have, just out of idle curiosity?
At the time, we had
8.
Three.
You know, let me just stop and think how many needles I have from my 2 dogs. That would be none. How about you, Mike?
Well, in one drawer, I have none, and in the other drawer, I have 0. Yeah.
Well, anyway,
you have what kind of dogs? What kind of dogs did you have, Jeremy?
Rottweilers?
No.
Pit bulls?
One was a black lab, and the other two were like a Lhasa Apso or something.
Oh, little dogs.
Uh-huh. Jack Russell Terriers. What was that?
Diabetic hounds.
Some people actually do give their dog shots.
Yeah, and a chaser.
Why, Buzz?
Well, because they can. I don't know. Some people, their vets will, you know, give them the stuff to do it with.
To inject their dogs?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Buzz. You're the listener's friend. Why don't you walk him through this? Mike and I are ready to toss this chum back off the boat.
No, by all means. I'd go with your instincts.
No. Well, my instinct says... You stepped into this pile. You wipe your feet off.
All right, sir. How is it that you came to have syringes to give your dog shots?
Like I said, I don't know where they're from. They're sitting in the store, and I assume that's what they were for, but I don't know.
Well, he doesn't know, and he assumes.
Do you think there's a possibility that the syringes were not necessarily for the dog?
No, there's no drug use.
No one had any kind of dependency that you were aware of in your household?
Why would you have dog syringes, though?
I don't know. There was something that my mom had from the vet, and that they were just sitting there for years. And, you know, I knew that they were there. But anyhow, listen.
Do you think that they might have expired if they were sitting there for years? Do you think the potency might have worn out?
I didn't. There wasn't anything in the syringes. They were just empty syringes that we had in the cabin.
Were there anything, was there anything nearby the syringes to inject?
Before you continue? Yeah. There's a man in the other room that's nodding knowingly as if he understands what's going on.
Oh, okay, go ahead, Buzz. I interrupted. No, I'm just going to say, was there anything nearby, to finish your question, were there any little bottles nearby that you could draw liquid from to fill the syringes?
They were just simply empty syringes just sitting there, and they've been sitting there for a long time, and I knew that they were there.
Nothing to put in them.
I hate to play devil's advocate, but please let him get to the crux of this yarn before you throw him back.
All right, what is it? What's the story?
All right, anyhow, like I said, me and my buddy were sitting around smoking pot, and we were bored, and I went into my mom's drawer in her bedroom and got her Xanax or Klonopin or something, and we mixed it up and we filled it.
Jeremy, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you had mentioned before that no one in the household had any kind of drug issue.
Well, my mom had some in the drawer, but there was no, you were imposing that there was heroin used because there was a needle involved.
I don't think I ever mentioned heroin. No.
You were imposing that.
I wish
this guy would stop implying himself on us.
I know.
I wish this guy would stop implying on the show. Jesus.
How you doing, Jeremy?
Oh! Hey, F me, F you. Hey, douchebag, we got your phone number. How about an apology?
I think he's gone.
Bring his number to us, please. We must call him back.
He didn't take that well.
He dropped the old F-bomb.
That was not the best call we've ever got.
And he didn't drop it in a nice way.
No, he dropped it in a very aggressive way.
There was a U afterwards.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it was that real...
Got it? You got it? Get him back on the phone, boys. Get him back on the phone, boys.
Let me X out Jeremy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who's this?
This is Lavette.
Lavette. Hi, Lavette. What is it that your mama does? Oh, Lavette, where are you from, honey?
Oh, Gainesville, Virginia.
Thank you for listening. Lavette, what is it that your mom doesn't know?
Well, a couple of years ago, I was at my parents' house because I was back and forth from college, and I broke this figurine that somebody gave to her as a gift. And it broke, like, just perfect. It was this little cat sitting on a box. And it broke.
Bye!
Don, why'd you hang up on her? It broke just perfect.
Reject a woman and she'll never let it go. One of the many defects of their kind. Also, weak arms.
It broke just perfect.
Lady, I don't give a diddly shit what they call me.
That was Lavette.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Hold on. The phones have to reset because we hit the delay.
Oh, yes.
Is it Jeremy?
Oh, Rob's calling the guy back right now.
Good.
The number, I'm sure it's the right number. Please, is Jeremy there?
Or else.
All right, thank you.
Hold on. Yeah. I'll say it on the radio. Jeremy, you better call back within an hour to apologize, or else, guess what? It's the blade for you. And I don't mean like any torture,
no, Jack Bauer style. Absolutely,
no.
Nothing physical.
It's simply my favorite newspaper.
It's a wonderful publication.
The Blade.
Right. Place to make friends.
I got a great personal section. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I like that thread. It's the blade for you.
Who is this? Hello.
Are you there?
Yes.
Hi, it's Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Where are you from?
Hi, I'm from Spokane, Washington.
Oh, wonderful.
Sarah, what is it that your mama doesn't know?
My mama doesn't know. I guess I don't think she knows, but my husband, my second husband, used to beat the crap out of me. He was a crack addict.
Well, now, if this was the Rob Spiewak show, you'd be the big winner.
Yeah. Or maybe Dr. Phil.
Okay, bear with me for a second. Where's the comedic value if we call your mom and say, hey, guess what, you didn't know? Your second husband's been beating the crap out of your daughter.
Well, I don't know, but he had to take pictures of me because he thought it was so cool that I had a black eye for the first time. So, I don't know.
You are one stupid bitch, Sarah. I am sorry.
Bye!
My God.
I can almost understand.
Can almost understand, can't you?
I don't understand why she was laughing about it. She seemed to find it amusing. Yeah. That is highly disturbing to me.
Maybe if you come on and apologize, they'll let you finish your story.
Tell him just to apologize or it's the blade.
If you don't apologize, it's going to be the blade.
Put him on hold. Put him back on the air.
That language isn't helping anything.
Mm-hmm.
Can't we keep this above board, Jeremy?
Blade City.
All right, I'm not.
Blade Runner.
Ask him if he wants to come on the air.
Will you come back on the air with us? You come back on the air? Hang on.
I'm good. We got caller ID, so we got
number
the guy.
12.
Hey, dude. Listen, don't say F you to us.
Yeah.
Dude, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeremy, dude. don't say that.
Don't say F you to us. You're calling us with some lame story. Jesus.
All right, well,
Christ.
You didn't even let me get to what happened.
Because you're a dummy.
Because I'm a dummy.
Yeah.
Why am I a dummy?
Well, we were having fun with the needle and everything. We were just having a little fun.
You're just so dumb.
And then right out of the box, the F-U, the violent
F-U. That's because y'all are getting ready to cut me loose and go to the next caller.
That's what we do.
So apologize.
Okay.
Cry to me about it, because I don't know who put your phone number in a personal ad in a gay magazine.
I'll see you.
I really don't know who's going to put my name. My name is Jeremy. I love doing everything.
Oh, you know, the story that you didn't get to also, Jeremy, the story that you didn't tell, we knew it was a lie.
How do you know it was a lie?
Because
you're stupid.
Didn't even hear what happened.
Yeah, because it was a lie. You made it up.
We're going to sue you for being so stupid.
We're going to sue you for making up that story.
You're so stupid. I got nothing better to say.
You know something? And for saying those the F-U's to us, we're going to sue you for that, too.
Sue me, then. You can't sue me for that.
Yes, actually, it's a law.
Then do it. You want my name and address?
I already got your name and address.
But give it out on the air. Go ahead.
Me.
Give it out.
Send the lawyers to me and sue me.
What? You're on the air with you. You've given your permission.
Go ahead. If you're on the air right now, would you like to give everybody your personal address?
No.
Why?
I didn't say everybody. I said I'll give you, not everybody.
Thank you. you okay with all that?
I don't know how many times you can hit the goddamn button.
John? We're out on our end. We're relying on Fairfax at this point.
We got them all.
Wow.
I swear to God, we never do that thing, but we are putting that guy's number in a gay magazine.
Wow.
I swear to God, we are.
Wow.
You guys didn't hear that. Like, every other, the guy was just like, F you, F you, F you, F you, F you, F you.
Good Lord.
And I'm trying to just get the button, and I couldn't hit the button. I was like, F you, too much F you.
Jesus.
Hard to stomp. Oh, God.
Pandemonium.
I've got to write a real good ad. P.S. I don't believe in rubbers.
This is Jeremy. My phone number is this.
Wow. Wowzy woo woo.
Good luck. Call Perry Mason on that one, dude.
Oh, it was going to be a BS anyway at the end. It was going to be a lie.
You knew it was right from the beginning.
God.
And he almost gave us a whatnot. And just think, if he'd given us a whatnot, nothing would have happened anyway. So you didn't hear any of that, but it's just as well that you didn't.
Now, all the people on hold heard, there are, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines that are ringing.
They heard it.
But 4 that are on hold.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the people on hold heard it, right?
Right. They
heard it. Let's see who's on this line. Hello, Karen?
Hey.
Karen, did you hear that wonderful conversation with Jeremy?
I did.
Yeah, he's got quite the potty mouth, doesn't he?
Yes. But you know what? I do have to say one thing. My dog is diabetic, and I give it shots.
Well, there it is.
Thank you. Know?
Yeah.
He's just telling the truth.
Well, how does it feel being on his side?
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So long, darling.
Hope you had a good time. You're on Planet Us. Planet Us. Not at Mike's show.
You're next on Planet Us. Go ahead.
Is me?
Oh, that's another disqualification. It was going so well before that.
I think I broke my finger from hitting that button.
You were hitting it like a maniac.
Frantically.
For every time he said F, I hit it twice.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hey.
How you doing?
Who's this?
Trevor.
Trevor, where are you from?
From Manassas, Virginia.
What is it that your mamo doesn't know, Trevor?
The first time I ever drank, when I was like 14 or so, and I came home, and I was scared that she would catch me when I went towards the bathroom. So the only thing I had in my room was a bottle of Listerine, and I used the bathroom into that and threw it in the trash can.
Wait, hold on.
I used the bathroom into that, Mike.
We're lying. I want to I got a syntax question here. Do you mean you went in the bottle?
Yes.
Was it an empty bottle?
No, there was probably about a little less than half in there.
Uh-huh. All right, so.
And I used the bathroom into that and then threw it into the trash can.
Hold on a second. I used the bathroom into that.
Why did you just say,
I went to... number one.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right, now we understand.
Yeah. All right, and then I threw that into the trash can in my room.
Good.
And then like 3 days later, my mom came in and was actually yelling at me because I had thrown away a good bottle of mouthwash.
That's right.
And she had actually used it, but I just never had the guts to tell her.
So she took it. She took it out of the trash.
Yeah, she took it out of the trash because she came into my room.
Hold on. I need the background one more time. I wasn't paying enough attention. I apologize. What's the reason you went bathroom in the bottle?
What's the connection?
He was drunk and he didn't want to get caught, so he didn't want to go by his mom's room into the bathroom.
So he snuck into his bedroom, and there was a Listerine bottle in there.
Hmm.
Exactly.
I don't know. It sounds an awful lot like the other one that we had, the evidence one.
How did he say go to the bathroom into it?
He said...
That's what he said, I think.
No. He said,
no.
Hold on, I wrote it down.
What was it? Yeah, it was brilliant, however he said it.
I used the bathroom.
All
right, hold on, you're a finalist.
Hang in there, Trevor.
Hold on, Trevor.
All right, thanks.
You're very welcome. No, thank you.
I used the bathroom in it.
Hello,
Don and Mike show. Who's this?
This is Billy. I just want that F you guy's phone number.
You want a what?
I just want that the guy's phone number.
What, the F you guy?
Mm-hmm.
By the blade. By the blade.
Yes, by the blade. It's a wonderful publication.
Copy. Get out of here, please. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Christine.
Hello, Christine.
Christine really nervous.
Christine is really nervous. She's talking about herself in Queen's third person.
Third person. Christine, what is it that your mom doesn't know?
I know she doesn't know. She's been wondering for 12 years, and my boyfriend is driving behind me, and I think he's listening to this, too, and so I'm really nervous.
All right, what does Christine want to tell us?
Okay, when I was 15, I needed her to come pick me up, and I was in Centerville off of Route 29, and you're familiar with it, I'm sure.
We don't need the GPS.
Okay. And so I asked her to come pick me up at a certain place off 29, and while I was waiting for her, because she was coming from the mountains.
Oh, the rambling voice of old Christine. I love that show with Julie Marie Dreyfuss.
I'm not shaking. I'm so nervous because I want her to know and I don't want her to know. But
it's no need for Christine to be nervous.
Okay. When
come
you
on,
find
Christine.
Out. Okay.
What is it?
bottom line.
She came to get me, but I was not there because I had met a guy and taken off with him.
No, I have to say, Christine has failed miserably in this game.
BFD.
No.
The harlot.
Are you still there?
Yes.
I was 15 years old.
Please. Today's 15 is yes,
highly disappointed.
Yeah, she's got to be really hot to be that stupid, though. Don't you think?
Let's try one more here.
Just we got blood on wheels.
One more finalist, but the evidence guy and his mom, yeah. The clear leader right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Although we're all driving to Baltimore after the show later tonight to find that guy Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. That'd be Solomon's Island, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Jack.
Jack, what is it your mom doesn't know?
My mom might be watching, so...
Well, that's good. That's good, because we're doing a radio show, not a TV show.
She won't see a thing.
Yeah.
Is it Jack or Josh?
Zach. What is it?
And how is the Off family?
Zach.
Oh, I thought it was Jack.
I'm not sure. He's mumbling.
Is your middle name is me, right?
No.
Never mind. You were talking about Mrs. Off. Your mom.
My mom, yeah.
Jack?
Yes.
Easy Off.
Is it Jack or Zach?
Zach with a Z.
Oh, my mistake.
Zach
my,
with a Z.
My mistake. Sorry,
mate. Okay, get on with it. Let's have a Zach attack.
All right. So Easter weekend, I went to visit my girlfriend's parents. And when we showed up, they were both pretty drunk already. And this was a big shock to me because my parents don't really drink. And
so you met her parents, your girlfriend's parents, and they were drunk when you met them?
My girlfriend's parents were drunk. So they ended up staying downstairs and talking, and I was exhausted because I'd driven all day, and I went up to bed.
You drove all day.
But I was sleeping, so I ended up staying in the loft upstairs, and the loft is just, it has a balcony. It looks right down into the den, so I could look down and see her parents. About 10 o'clock, she comes up to the room, comes into the room.
Who comes up? Who, Zach, who? Master storyteller Zach, who comes into the room?
My girlfriend.
Okay.
And what happens?
I don't know how to say this on the radio.
Try, just use initials then, please.
Okay. She
While the parents are downstairs?
Well, I can make eye contact with the back of her parents.
Well, big deal. Get out of here. So hold on. You want to tell your mother, why would you want to tell your mother that your girlfriend gave you a BJ while you were looking at her parents?
I wouldn't.
What? The game
I
is called.
Want to tell her that.
The game is called "What My Mother Doesn't Know Won't Hurt Her," meaning it has to be something that somehow involves your mom, or something you said to your mom.
I guess it's my girlfriend's mom. Then.
Zach,
sorry.
Zach, how old are you?
19.
Please tell me you haven't fathered a child yet.
Nope.
You know what that nope means? That nope means it's about an hour away from happening.
I know.
Zachary, you're a big fat loser.
Sorry, Zach. Thank you. Thanks for playing the game.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bye!
A well-raised young man.
It's a certain civility.
Yeah.
That surrounds the Don Mike audience when we play one of our white trash games.
The genteel world of Zach.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
You could have said a goodbye, old sport.
Dumbass. When we come back, I think we're all in agreement.
Yes.
This guy, Brian, is our number one finalist.
No question. Yeah.
And we'll use the guy, Trevor, as our backup.
Listerine Boy will be the backup.
See if we can give away this trip to Las Vegas by calling the mom when we come right back. Okay? Jeremy?
Hello, Jeremy.
Jeremy, hello.
Hello, Carlo.
Gosh, what movie do I want to rent this weekend? Blade 1? Or Blade 2? Or how about Blade Runner?
He's going to be popular. He's going to be popular.
Gay Blade. I've got to cut my grass this weekend. So many blades, I guess. Oh, and Mike?
Yes.
You should really go see the movie Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell.
Wonderful. And it's going to be a wonderful prison movie at Jeremy's house.
Buzz?
Yes?
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You love it. You love to make me hit you.
Joe.
Mommy.
Barbara, please. Please, Barbara. Leave us alone, Barbara. If you need anything, ask Carol Ann. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You deliberately embarrassed me in front of a reporter. A reporter? I told you how important this is to me. I told you.
The Don and Mike
Show. Dongo.
Artistically bankrupt. The Don and Mike Show.
That's Joan Crawford there. That's what her name is, Joan Crawford.
Faye Dunaway.
Great. Tomorrow we'll be doing our annual Jimmy Dean Throw Mama from the Train.
It's a beautiful Mama's mix, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Thing. Big Mama's thing on tomorrow's show.
Mm-hmm.
Plus tomorrow, all of these tapes of the Today Show going to commercial break, leaving the microphones open.
Right.
Also tomorrow, we've never done our whole George Bush and the Queen bit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. And, also tomorrow, I do want to chat about eBay and a problem I am having with an eBayer.
Oh, dear.
And a question about what to do about this cat.
Hmm. You buying something?
Yeah.
Or are you selling something?
I'm strictly a buyer, Mike, as always.
Yes, of course.
Always, I'm a buyer.
You don't sell, you buy.
I'm a buyer. Never,
you're a trader.
Never sell.
Mm-hmm. You're a trader.
That's T-R-A-D-E-R, not T-R-A-I-T-O-R.
No, you are a trader. You like commerce.
And I
you're a consumer.
I did get a note from the guy about your Nazi helmet, Rob.
Oh, good.
That it is coming. He had to send it from Germany because it's a real one.
Oh, really? Does it have the spike on the top of it?
No, it's the one that looks like a motorcycle helmet.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Anyway, I finally... WW2. I finally got a note because I sent back the feedback thing, like saying, you know, where's my gift I got for my best buddy? And he wrote back saying that it's on the way.
And, of course, when it does come in, we will require Rob to put on his wig and the helmet to see how he looks with both of them on there.
I am surprised he wasn't more efficient with that.
The helmet's taking longer because it has to go through Poland and France first.
That's a WW2 joke.
Thank you.
No problem getting through France.
Oui, oui. All right, all of that on tomorrow's show. Now, let's get to a winner here with What My Mother Doesn't Know Won't Hurt Her. The best one we had was this guy, Brian.
Brian from Westminster, who said he had sex with his girlfriend and mom came home. And they had to finish quickly.
They were having sex in the kitchen, up on the counter.
On the kitchen counter.
And when mom came, there was some evidence left behind.
Mm-hmm. Mom wiped it up and then and just went about her business.
Yes.
She's hot.
And mom is hot.
Hot as balls.
What glorious goo.
So that is the setup.
Okay. That is the setup. And if Brian can share this with his mother, he will win.
Now, let's see. Brian, did we say that pretty much as you had it?
Yeah, that's pretty much correct.
Now, you know, when we get your mom on the phone, Brian, you're going to have to tell the story, and we ask that you also use the word evidence.
Okay, I will use the word evidence.
Because we don't even say what you're not going to use, please, friend. Just
okay,
say,
and I will also say sexy time.
Sexy time.
Sexy time.
Yes, okay. You and your girlfriend had sexy time.
Very good. Robbie, would you be a love?
Sexy
and,
time, very nice.
And call Brian's mom Kathy. It's Kathy, right?
Yes.
Kathy. Kathy, who the frat boys, your frat brothers consider to be a POA.
A dish, yes. Sir.
A dish, very good. A dish, I like that. That's nice.
A dish. All right, Dobie Gillis.
Well, it goes along with sexy time and evidence.
Great.
You know, as we're sanitizing this whole thing. Sanitizing it like the counter was sanitized.
But you can say a piece of that. You don't have to say she's a dish.
She's a dish. Let's dish some dirt.
Hey, that dame is a dish. There is nothing like a dame.
Hi, Jeremy. I just wanted to say that also.
Mr. President.
Hey, Mr. President.
Two hunters. Three hunters. Three Canadian hunters.
What? Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters? From Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Now, that's
then
cool.
The train had come.
Three Canadian hunters.
Hunters?
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Brian, did you just say the train hit them? Did you just say the line?
And then there was the tracks, and it hit them.
What a great listener you are.
Yeah. Very good.
Robbie, what's the problem there? Robbie?
Rob's having a conversation with the mother. He's listening to
Robbie?
His mother.
What's going on, Rob?
She's on the other line with her sister-in-law in Australia, and she's not comfortable, and she's sorry, Brian.
No, hold on a second.
Oh, we can't.
What do you mean she's not comfortable? She's not comfortable with what?
Just a moment. Come on the air with us, please.
Never send a boy to do a man's job. You get it done, Robbie?
Yes, I did.
Oh, very good.
All right, very good.
You know what? Hey, today you are a man.
Nice job, Rob.
Boy, I've never felt better.
Today's your bar mitzvah. Is this line right here?
Eight, yes.
There you go. Hello,
Kathy.
Would it be Kathy?
Yes.
Hi, Kathy. It's the Don and Mike Show, and we thank you for terminating your conversation with your sister. We have your son, Brian, on our phone right now for a Mother's Day show.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing a little game called What My Mother Doesn't Know Won't Hurt Her.
Brian,
okay.
Brian, are you there?
I'm still here.
Now, Brian has the chance to win a fabulous vacation to Las Vegas if he just tells you his beloved mom.
What he told us.
Something that you don't know about your son.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brian, it's all on you now.
Go ahead.
All right. Mom, remember my freshman year of college when Heather came to visit over Andre's engagement party?
Yes.
Well, when you guys were gone, we kind of did something naughty on the island in the kitchen. And there was evidence that was left behind, and then you guys, it was you and your husband, and then wasted on your jeans, and I've never told you that because it was kind of, yeah, Mom, you smelled it a little. But.
Okay, well, I'm glad you broke up with Heather.
Ah, that's good, right? And Brian, this has been gnawing at you?
Just a bit.
Without getting terribly graphic here, ma'am, do you understand what he was saying?
Yes.
And could you just, your feelings on Brian revealing this to you, that's usually how we wrap this
up. Well, you know, there's nothing that my son couldn't do that I wouldn't love him for. That's pretty nasty, but, you know, what can I say?
So you forgive Brian?
Yes.
Because you see, he's pulled it and then she wiped it right on her jeans.
And it's been gnawing at him this whole time.
Well, that was a long time ago. Thanks a lot, Bri.
Well, you were angry about the time. You were much more angry about the time when I prank called you on St. Patrick, or not on St. Patrick's Day, April Fool's, and told you I was gay and convinced you of that. So,
yeah.
Brian, you sound like a wonderful son.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, never a dull moment.
Kathy, on the good side of this, though, Brian said that his fraternity brothers all think that you're a hottie.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know about all that. But listen, I got my sister-in-law on hold on that.
Okay, no problem. Deal with Brian later.
Okay. Kathy, right. First off, we're going to give you a pair of new jeans.
Okay.
Never mind. Do you want to go see Def Leppard, Kathy?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you, Mom. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Brian.
Yeah, I don't think she's much of a Def Left fan.
No, but I think you're in trouble too.
Yeah, she sounded.
That was real, and you know that's why I give it a round of applause. That was real, Mom. That was a real like kind of mom nasty reaction.
And I was
there.
Wondering if she got it. Now that I think about it, yeah, she understood.
She understood exactly what was going on. Yeah.
She's got two sons
who are a little bit vulgar. So she understood what I was saying.
Picture her finger going on that granite counter.
Yeah.
What's this? Oh, just wipe it on my jeans.
That's nothing. And it sounds like she's used to this kind of behavior, Brian.
Maybe a little bit, but that one probably I'm going to get a little bit of anger towards me for the next couple weeks about.
Will it be the anger because of what you did, or will it be the anger that you shared on the radio?
Radio, what I did, and the fact that I don't think she knew I did anything like that.
I like
that.
You try to cover your ass by saying you called her one time trying to convince her you were gay. Son of the year.
You prankster, you.
Well, she was very angry about that when she wouldn't talk to me for a couple days.
Gay, 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 gay.
Oh, is she the kind of mom that actually gives you the silent treatment?
Oh, yeah. Pretty bad. When I told her that, she was pretty pissed.
Wow. You think your mom would freeze you out if you really were gay?
Nah. She's really cool about everything. So that's the only reason I figured I would do this.
Do you think you'll get the silent treatment based on this little escapade?
Probably for a couple of days, yeah. I won't be getting phone calls for a couple of days from her.
Is your brother retarded, too?
actually, I'm the one who was the prankster, troublemaker type
guy.
Merry pranksters.
Well, you have won a trip for two to the International Hooters Swimsuit Contest. Round-trip airfare, hotel at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Courtesy of Hooters, have a great time in Las Vegas, please.
Thank you very much, guys.
Stay off the counters.
Thanks, Brian. And you know what's always nice when we get a real, genuine reaction? There was nothing phony about
normal,
that.
Real.
That was so real. It was no, I don't want to go see Deb Summer. I've got to get back on the phone.
Do you think there's a chance your mom at some point, before the ice thaws, calls you and says, I cannot believe that it was your evidence.
Mm-hmm. You know, she loves her son. Did you hear the first thing she said? I'm glad you broke up with her.
Yes.
Yeah. It's right on the girl. Mm-hmm.
Like it's her fault.
That's
right. Well, she helped. What glorious goo.
You know what layer I like about this is going back to that that long, long distance call to Australia.
Yeah.
And the sister-in-law saying, well, what took so long? it was Brian.
Oh, Brian.
Enjoy yourself. Thank you, my friend.
He's
there. He is. Yeah, let's see. The guy we had on hold there, Trevor, the guy with the Listerine.
Yes, Listerine. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Trevor.
Yes.
Good news. If you want to or not, you're going to see Def Leppard.
You have to go.
All right.
With Foreigner. Exactly. With Foreigner and Sticks, Nissan Pavilion Friday, August 17th. You're registered for the flyaway trip to see them in Reno in September. Tickets go until Saturday morning at 10. Visit livenation.com.
How do you feel about that Def Leppard concert, Trevor?
I like a couple of their songs.
Yeah.
Those should be fun.
Well, you'll enjoy it.
It'll be fun.
There you go.
You got a hand to the drummer.
Yeah. And when you get done going to that concert, make sure you don't do it in a Listerine bottle, okay?
Okay.
Trevor.
Yeah, everybody's in a hurry these days.
Trevor was not happy.
Use the bathroom into that.
Use the bathroom. That's right. You got to remember that the next time we do our Dude Walker event, our returns from commercials. They like to use the bathroom.
Into that.
I was using the bathroom into a Listerine bottle.
They like to use the bathroom into a bottle. That's what he's got to say. Note to self.
I know what time it is.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
That's what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening there, Curly Joe?
Hey, I'll tell you in a few minutes.
Curly Joe. I'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
This is not what you signed up for. The Don and Mike Show.
You're goddamn right. Hey, it's time for Buzz. Hey there, Charlie.
Hi.
This Charlie Cast is brought to you by eDiamonds.com. Find a little brilliance with a pair of diamond stud earrings from eDiamonds.com. That's www.e-diamonds.com. Or call 1-800-HALOVE.
HALOVE.
HALOVE.
Huh. You know what? I like huh.
Want to hear one more Al Roker thing?
Please. Yeah, I really like the one where it was a studio cutaway.
These are fun.
You know, because when he's out there in front of everybody, he's got to do the dog and pony show, even if he's, off air.
Now, again, this is all recorded today. Mm-hmm. The deal is that the Today Show leaves the microphones open on the national feed, on the satellite, when they're supposed to go to the local forecast.
Right.
So here's Al Roker today.
That's what's going on around the country. Here's what's happening in your neck of the woods. Hey, now I'm going down there. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Blah, blah, blah. Hey,
guys.
All those mooks.
Yeah, that wait from 4 o'clock in the morning.
I don't have it. We'll do it in the next. And I've got some nice-looking young ladies here.
All those mooks and their dumb Statue of Liberty hats.
You ever seen the one brother that's out there, the older black guy that's there every single day?
They refer to him by name.
Yeah, they refer to him by name, and he never smiles.
His name is Robert K. Adams. There he is. Tomorrow, we'll get a whole break out of this. We got 12 of these today from the Today Show.
They're wonderful.
Where Al Roker is just cutting loose.
And have more tomorrow.
Also tomorrow, we've got to devote some time to the idiotic 10th anniversary of Ann Curry reading the news on the
Today
Show.
That they're struggling when they've got to pay tribute to Ann Curry for 10 years.
Has it been 10 years already?
It just flew by. It did.
Struggling.
I loved when they showed all her different hairstyles.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Struggling.
She's a pro.
And what excitement we have today.
It's time for the news now, though, with Buzz. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Howdy.
If it'll help the medicine go down, here's your spoonful of sugar. The Greg House Show is now tied with American Idol in the ratings.
What's going on?
At least...
Hi, I'm Greg House.
At least in the overnight ratings. One way Fox accomplished this was by making Idol spill over into the House Hour by 2 minutes. Once the final national results are in, this is likely to change. Still, it's quite an accomplishment, even if it also took a dip in Idol's ratings to help make it happen. Likewise, House wouldn't be doing this well without Idol as a lead-in, but... viewers wouldn't stay if people didn't love Dr. House.
Well, that house is one goddamn hot show.
It sure is.
It's, I think, probably their best show. I mean, American Idol notwithstanding, right?
From a quality standpoint.
You know, this is just a casual observation, but if I had a sick family member and I was dealing with a guy like Greg House,
uh-huh,
I might hit him.
Yeah, well, and people have. Like, one guy shot him. In one episode.
Is that what happened to him? That's why he limps around all the time?
Yeah.
Did we ever see the episode where he got shot?
It was by a one-armed man.
No, he limped before he got shot.
Fugitive. Right, he did. He limped already, and then he got shot again.
Did you see the episode where he dropped his pants in front of the hospital administrator? Did you see that one?
No, I did not.
Ooh, it was gross. He drops his pants because he's asking for morphine to be, like, injected into his spine. Mm-hmm. And she says, you really don't need this. You don't need this. And he drops his pants. He goes, let me take a look. Does this look all right to you? And they showed, like, the horrible... little
twisted,
nasty,
mangled
twisty,
leg.
Mangled flesh where he got shot.
I'm glad I haven't seen it yet. I'm late to the party on House. Only last year I started watching it. And
you ought to join the House party.
What's great is, because it's like the only show they've got that they can plug in and people will watch now besides American Idol. I don't mind watching the repeats because I've not seen them before.
New to you. And it's all, you know, it is kind of a one note. It's the same type of theme. And I don't like the two... doctors, the two pretty doctors, the pretty girl and the pretty boy
the British boy.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You're not supposed to like him. He's been detestable throughout.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm also sort of a recent jump aboard. Why does he limp?
He got shot.
No, but he limped before that.
Yeah. He's always
limped.
Yeah, since the beginning, and I don't...
Wait, hold on. Somehow he's mad at the chick that he always wants to bang.
Cuddy.
Yeah, what's her name?
Cuddy.
What's her name?
Cuddy.
C-U-D-D-Y.
Oh, C-U-D-D-Y.
Not C-U-N-N-Y. Maybe I'm watching the show wrong. I think I've seen...
How are you watching it?
No, what I mean is...
are you watching with your head at that jaunty angle?
Well, I use the bathroom on the TV.
Into the TV.
No, thank you. I use the bathroom into the TV. I think on one occasion I've seen it where she... And maybe I'm interpreting it wrong, where she has said to him... You still blame me for the way you are. Has she ever said that to him?
I don't know. I've forgotten really why he limped.
But there is an episode of the Greg House Show where we actually have the shooting episode.
Yeah, there was a shooting, I think, last season, where a patient had enough of House's attitude and shot him for it.
He's always limped, though.
But he had limped long before that.
Yes, true.
Okay.
I'll find this out.
And he's English, right?
Yes.
Mike, he was in Stuart Little.
Oh, of course he was, yeah. Well, the head of HBO, arrested last week for assaulting his girlfriend in Las Vegas, has been fired from HBO.
I got a comment on that, Buzz.
Oh,
we're all upset.
Let's listen.
But a whisper.
You know, that was like, my man, the Duca.
No need to whisper, Don.
Good to see the Duca again.
A little...
You okay with that one? You know... Usually when that happens,
So
yeah. It might be time for a little, you need to bring the plane into the hangar for a little maintenance?
Just a dollop, Mike.
Oh.
You know what? Right. I'm rich enough I can throw these underpants away.
That's right.
Oh, no.
There it is. There it is. No false start that time.
Oh, my God.
Okay, can we get something in here?
What a bouquet.
Wait, you notice who's escaped.
Let
now.
The record reflect.
You notice who has fled the studio.
Rob, the
man who is in here at all times has fled the studio.
Hold on, let me see if everybody's calling about the show House Buzz.
Yeah, I hope they have the answer.
I've forgotten. Every line go crazy. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, I have an explanation as to why House limps.
Okay, go ahead, please. Are you just getting some of that?
Yeah, one? Just a taste.
You know what that's the smell of?
What's that?
My food digesting.
Thank you. Thanks for the biological explanation.
Because you see, I eat food, and then the acids in my stomach break it down.
That's right.
And then when I have gas, when I have farts, they smell like
food. I understand.
Being digested.
I totally understand.
Hi, Robbie.
I just spoke to my buddy Brad, who has watched House from episode one, and here's the backstory.
Did you smell my fart?
No, but then I'm not back there.
It's already dissipated?
You're not nearly as lucky as me.
Wait for it to circulate.
I had to step out of the room for a moment.
Yeah, that's convenient for you.
Hold on. Got a guy on the phone. Let's see if he jives up with your buddy
Brad. Okay, he goes first.
Hello, John. Okay, what happened to House?
All right. Basically, what happened is he had a degenerative leg disorder, and he could he had two options. One, I can't remember, and the other one, his ex-wife made him get surgery, but it kind of screwed him up, and now he's got ridiculous pain in his leg.
All right, let's go to Rob's best friend, Brad.
According to Brad, he had a muscle infection in his right thigh, and when he passed out or he was comatose or under for some reason, Dr. Cuddy advised his fiance to operate on him, and the operation may have saved his life.
So that may be why he said to Cuddy.
Exactly.
Right, that thing about you.
And
she
even
said to him, you always are mad at me about your thing.
So that was done while he was, they signed off on it when he was under.
When did he get shot, and does that have anything to do with his leg?
It's not helping.
Well, was he shot in the leg?
Where was he shot?
I believe he was shot in the leg, as a matter of fact. So he had a degenerative, horrible muscle disease in his leg, and then he got shot in the same leg?
Boy, this guy, he can't catch a break.
Well, no wonder I'm surprised he's not in a wheelchair.
So many questions. No wonder he's bitter.
I'm just glad that he's such an open personality.
Mm-hmm.
Open house.
Open house. Open house.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Right to the bathroom and the TV.
HBO CEO Chris Albrecht brought us Sex and the City, The Larry Sanders Show, Oz, 6 Feet Under, and The Sopranos.
Yeah, right. He's a freaking genius.
Well,
sure he
actually moved HBO out of the era of showing the same movies over and over again to mixing in series along with the movies that they show over and over again.
It's called The Lake House.
That's right.
Don't say that they still don't run HBO.
No, I'm not saying they don't do that,
again.
But now they mix these series in with it to break it up, and that helps. Anyway,
Lake House, incidentally, is the new Hope Floats.
Yes, it is, and that dog is always there. That's how they can tell that they're traveling through time.
And I want to kill Winn-Dixie.
Really? What'd they do?
No, it's the dog. Have you not seen that movie
because
of Winn-Dixie?
Because of Winn-Dixie.
It's on the Showtime High Def channel on every other hour.
Good store, though.
Kids love it.
Like Sopranos character Christopher, this Chris, Chris Albrecht, former CEO of HBO, apparently has also been battling demons. He's just signed up for Alcoholics Anonymous for a problem he's had for decades. He was involved in an assault case 16 years ago as well.
Of course, someone should have seen he was an alcoholic if he's got the track record you're saying. He green-lighted Arliss.
Yes. He should have been fired for that.
Thank you.
No matter all the other good stuff, forget that. Arliss warranted firing.
Quoting a colleague, you could tell something was not right with him.
And he's in AA now?
Yes, he is.
Quitter!
Do you remember when we had Robert Wool on the show and we did not like Arliss and we told him we didn't like it and he said, watch it next week, and I'll come back on your show.
And he did.
And you tell me if you like it. And we had him back on, and we weren't goofing with him.
No.
How many weeks did he sit through us giving him awful critiques of that show?
He was amazing the way he did that, and I always respected him for doing that, but I believe he tired of it after 3 weeks. I think he went away, and
he
never came back.
Sounds right.
Yeah, and it wasn't a bit. But it was the start of Sandra Oh's career, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
With HBO, I saw on our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com, which has great sections besides the message board and the daily audio podcast stuff. We've got a section there with videos, another section with Photoshop.
Right.
I was looking at the viral videos, or is it the Hollywood section? I don't know. It's Adrian Barbeau from the HBO show Dream On.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Robbie, who was the star of that show?
That was Brian Benben.
Right.
Benben!
Anyway, it was at the time on HBO, it was like the only show that you could see that had the topless chicks walking around.
Is Adrienne Barbeau topless?
No, but she is talking to the guy. It's on our website.
Talking to Brian Benben?
She's talking sex talk to him.
Really?
And boy, is it good.
That was a very sexy show.
Sure was.
Well, officially, HBO's thanking Chris Albrecht for his contributions. Now, off with you, then. Well,
that's nice that they thank him.
Mm-hmm. At 2:30 yesterday afternoon, 11 Republican congressmen met with President Bush in the private quarters of the White House. Karl Rove was there, along with Tony Snow, Condoleezza Rice.
Come right in. I've got a special cocktail that I've made for all of you.
That's a party, Buzz.
A number of high-ranking Bush officials were there. Now, those Republican congressmen were present to talk about Americans' displeasure with the president and his war in Iraq.
They were blunt
about all of it.
He's great. What are you talking about?
A Northern Virginia Republican pointed out that only 5% of the people in his district still support the president.
I'm not aware that there's anyone in the country that's expressed any significant amount of displeasure in the president's policies.
The lawmakers told
me. Who are you? I'm Karl Rove. Special assistant to the president. Sit down, gentlemen. We've prepared a lovely buffet lunch for you.
The lawmakers told the president that Americans can deal with defeat. They told him what Americans really want is honesty. Another new survey just out yesterday says nearly 40% of Americans now favor impeaching the president.
Silence!
The vice president.
It's a month, right?
And you can only make it if your name is Karl Rove.
Here's your long-range forecast for Chicago and Washington, D.C.
She makes bathroom. What?
No, never mind. I forget. It's so bad. The English is so improper that it's tough to duplicate.
I used the bathroom into that.
Thank you, Robbie.
There it is.
So the long term.
I used the bathroom into the Bloody Mary.
Now you've succeeded in grossing me out. I didn't think that was possible.
Who are you?
I'm Karl Rove.
Washington, D.C.'s long-range forecast, including the Chicago vicinity, 110 degrees in the summer until further notice.
All right.
That's the word from a NASA space studies official at Columbia University. Quoting Barry Lynn of the Goddard Institute, there's potential for extremely hot temperatures in the future.
Tanner, turnover time. 6:28 from the station that rules the pools and reaches the beaches. Tan, don't tan, don't tan, don't turn. Don't burn.
Especially during the summers, he says, with less than average rainfall.
But it is chilly, and it is windy.
Predictions based on 30 years of data and computer modeling.
That forecaster is calling for temperatures in the 40s.
Nobody ever gave a lot of thought to that 0.9 cent that's added onto every gallon of gasoline we buy. Not until prices creep toward $4 a gallon. What? 0.9 cent, what is that between friends? Well, to the big
Joe's oil, salary.
To the big oil companies.
Hi, Joe!
Pennies on the dollar.
It's billions of dollars. For those of you obsessed with numbers, we bought about 373 million barrels of gasoline in February, each barrel holding 42 gallons. At 0.9 cent per gallon, that's nearly $141 million.
You're making my head spin, Buzz.
$140 million worth of 0.9 cents. Over a year, that's well over $1 trillion for the oil companies.
I've always found that it's essential to watch the pennies to make the dollars.
Goodbye to Tammy Faye Baker and Jared's checkered past. Jared, Subway Jared, had a checkered past. We'll look at that and a farewell to Tammy Faye when we return.
I know you don't like giving stuff away. Was he a kid toucher?
No. No,
I always
not.
Had him pegged as that.
I know you were hoping, but no, it's not true.
I understand he likes pickles.
On his meat.
Well, who doesn't?
He always orders double meat.
Hopefully I can tell you about Kool-Aid pickles as well.
Kool-Aid pickles?
Yeah. All of that and more coming up.
All right, pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Their corrective shoes on their brains. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
What not? Tomorrow, yeah, we'll have the full tape of Dale Jr. in context saying what not.
What not?
37 times.
Wow. 37 times, God bless him.
At a press conference.
What not?
That lasted less than an hour. That's almost one whatnot per minute.
A world record.
Mm-hmm. That's why he's so fast.
Yeah, he's super fast.
Number eight car.
Number eight car going to another team.
I tell you something that they do on that show today, I don't understand.
One.
A tape about human waste.
I don't understand their show. I don't like it.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Two words for you. Not funny.
I remember that time I had a bottle of Listerine.
And
did you?
I still don't remember. I used the bathroom into it.
We gotta commit that to memory, man.
Absolutely. It's so hard to memorize bad stuff like that.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi there.
Pizza Guy. We're now being told that the six Islamic radicals who planned to invade Fort Dix in New Jersey with assault rifles had planned to get into the military base disguised as pizza delivery guys.
Radical!
Their alleged plot, thwarted this week, was apparently a year and a half in the making. The FBI infiltrated this alleged terror cell after a video store reported duplicating a DVD that showed Islamic guys shooting automatic weapons and talking about the jihad.
Pretty smart.
Vanity may have been their downfall. Meanwhile, in Denver, they've found box cutters on a plane. They were in a seat back pocket. Box cutters were important tools in the 9/11 hijackings that happened Tuesday on a United plane bound for Denver. That flight was delayed by 2 hours because of the security breach. The plane had just arrived from New York's LaGuardia. The TSA says it would not care to speculate about how the box cutters got past inspectors and through metal detectors. Quoting a TSA official, things happen. That's why we have armed pilots and air marshals.
Jesus. That's scary.
I guess things will never go back the way they were. I was watching some movie the other day. It doesn't really matter. I watch crap all the time.
I see a lot of movies.
But it was, I have all the pay channels.
I know. And all the underwear you want.
He can throw it away at a moment's notice.
That's right.
And incidentally, I didn't have to.
Oh, congratulations.
You know what it was? Pure air.
Oh, good.
Pure air. No actual fiber.
That sounds like a Tom Clancy novel, Silent Air.
Please don't call it pure.
Nothing pure about that.
You didn't smell nothing.
That's true, but I
did. More nothing pure about that.
That's 100% pure. Mine is food.
You use the bathroom into your seat.
You smell like my food. What were we talking about?
We were about to move on, actually.
You were talking about box cutters on an airplane. You were talking about watching a movie.
Things never changing, yes.
Thank you very hard. I don't know what movie it was, but it was a stupid love story where at the end he's got to get a hold of her and she's getting on an airplane. Anyway, the guy just runs right through security and like, I'm in love. I've got to catch the girl. And pre-9/11, you would have looked at that and you would have thought, totally believable.
Oh, my God.
Now you look at it and you go,
what?
I looked at it with a discerning eye like, hold on a second. Yeah, you couldn't run past security.
Right. But when you hear box cutters, that freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, really, in the back of an airplane seat.
Things happen.
Things happen. Is that what he said?
That's what he said. I'm quoting the TSA.
Things happen.
Things happen. That's why we have armed pilots and air marshals.
For one thing, the upholstery will be ruined.
Eesh.
Tammy Faye Baker, the disgraced televangelist of the 80s, has written a farewell letter.
What about the vagina?
Tammy Faye says the doctors have stopped her cancer treatment. She says she now looks like a scarecrow weighing 65 pounds.
Why do you favor rape?
Oh, dear.
Alongside her husband, Jim Baker, she raised about $130 million a year back in the day and was watched every day on 13 million television sets.
PTL, pass the loot.
Mm-hmm. And she can fit about 8 tennis balls into her mouth, just like Bonnie Franklin.
Sex and financial scandals brought down the empire. The Baker's tearful confession made Tammy Faye's mascara run. More recently, she was on A Surreal Life with Vanilla Ice and Ron Jeremy.
65 hot pounds.
Speaking of people in their past, Subway Jared may have once been known as Porno Jared.
Let's get to this, Buzz.
I wouldn't want to see him in a porno.
Exactly. Well, he wasn't in any.
He just watched a lot of them?
He supposedly rented adult videos out of his college dorm room. That was his business at the time. He was 200 pounds heavier
Hold on. He did it like as an entrepreneurial thing?
That's how he made some money to get, I guess, work his way through college and buy those sandwiches.
We had a coworker that used to do that.
Daryl Nichols. Oh, sorry, I've said his name. Excuse me.
His name just got out of the air.
Full given name. His Christian name.
He should, if it's going to be criminal, we should give him a middle name. Daryl Michael Nichols.
Well, Jared was 200.
Daryl K. Nichols.
200 pounds heavier than he weighed 425.
Daryl Kelly Nichols.
That's also when Jared started eating at Subway and losing weight, and he did that with the money he made renting out the porno videos. And Subway had just opened a shop downstairs in the same building as Jared's dorm room, According to an acquaintance from Indiana University, Jared ate at Subway, mostly out of laziness.
Yeah, but you don't take somebody else's sandwich that somebody else has licked at or handled.
Right. And how do you know that there wasn't evidence when Jared was, you know, at one of those times that, like, put it on the sandwich or something?
5 grams of fat or less.
Do you realize he was, like, 7 times heavier than Tammy Faye?
You're still hung up on that 65 pounds.
God, someday. You know, wouldn't it be nice to be that thin? You could wear
65 pounds.
Anything.
Anything.
It's like a size 2, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a size 2.
Size 0.
The latest culinary rage in the South?
Yeah.
Kool-Aid pickles. The red ones are strawberry, but you can get them in all sorts of tropical flavors.
Kool-Aid pickles?
You will find Kool-Aid pickles in gallon jars in shops along the Mississippi Delta, right alongside the pickled eggs and the pickled pig's feet.
I want mine with chocolate pie, Buzz.
Of course. They're good with chocolate. Their popularity has caused them to spread as far away as St. Louis and Dallas.
How do you like them, Charlie?
I love them. I love Kool-Aid pickles.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like Kool-Aid.
Well, here's...
You eat them, but they're pickles. It's great. Hello, Robert Adams.
Oh, hey, Charlie.
Robert Kelly Adams. Hello.
This has caught on so big that lawyers are now scrambling for patent rights to Kool-Aid pickles. New businesses, whole new businesses are starting up. Nobody knows who came up with the idea, but kids love them.
Enjoy them while you're playing the lottery.
It's mentally retarded.
It seems retarded. They're like Pringles that taste like Kool-Aid.
It's the South.
You know how they put peanuts in Coca-Cola? They've always been on the cutting edge of sweet and salty.
And it's like deep-fried Twinkies or whatever it was they were doing.
That's a different thing, though, because the deep-fried Twinkie is almost like a donut.
Right.
Yeah. But the mixture of sweet and salty.
I'm just saying, if you're looking for a creative cuisine, the South is the place to turn.
Bet you a dollar in 6 months they're frying these pickles. They love frying everything.
You're liking that idea, aren't you?
I would love to try one of those Kool-Aid pickles.
Fried.
First I want it in its virgin form.
When's the last time you had that chicken you like so bad where you fry it up with Captain Crunch?
Oh, it's been years. Years.
What will you be enjoying for dinner this evening?
I don't know.
What do you think?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Probably I'll have to make my own.
Take out, right?
No, probably hot dogs.
What did you have last night?
Last night? Rubber Chinese. Ball. Last night was delivery.
Never balls of liquor. I kind of whispered that. I don't know why.
In sports, Baltimore Ravens quarterback Steve McNair has been arrested in Nashville in a drunk driving case, and he wasn't even driving. But he owns the car that was driven by his drunken brother-in-law, and he was in the car at the time, and in Tennessee, that's a misdemeanor. McNair got popped for DUI in that same city himself 4 years ago this month. Ricky Henderson is bound for the Hall of Fame, having scored the most runs and stolen the most bases before retiring from baseball. But this week in San Francisco, Giants versus the Mets, the 48-year-old caught a foul and refused to give it to the little kid nearby who had tried to catch it.
Oh, that is so evil.
So now he's Pricky Henderson, even if he did give the boy an autographed baseball.
And he's a ball player.
Also, he says seeing a 48-year-old Mets player out there on the field that day made him start thinking about a comeback of his own.
Jesus.
So, hold on a second.
That's such baseball etiquette.
We're talking about Ricky Henderson, the guy who used to play for the A's, right?
Yeah. Soon to be Hall of Fame.
So he's in the stands, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Little kid next to him.
I didn't follow. I thought he had been signed by something. So he's just watching as a fan.
Right. Watching the Giants game against the Mets. And
that is so the rule. I mean, you get a foul ball. I mean, everybody's, if there's a little kid in, within 5 feet, you got to give the little kid the baseball.
Right. You help him if you can.
Yeah.
He took it. He said, no way I'm giving up this ball. Wow. He said, I've never caught one before. I'll give him an autographed ball of my own. And that's what he did.
He gave one of his nuts.
And you know you've selected a
Ricky,
good...
don't lose that number.
Ricky Henderson.
You're right, Ricky.
You know you've selected a good baseball game to attend when you find out it's rectal exam night. At last night's Brewers game in Milwaukee, you...
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Is everybody happy?
You could get 2 free tickets to a future game if you'd agree to let a guy check your prostate.
Weren't they playing the Nationals?
A doctor, supposedly, yeah.
Yeah, they were playing the Nationals.
And finally, last fall in Hampton, New Hampshire, a guy in his mid-40s was arrested for dropping his pants on a bridge. He got his day in court this week, and he explained to the judge it could have been a lot worse. See, the judge has fined him now $250 for indecent exposure and given him a year's probation, but Mark Stretton says he wasn't out there to expose himself or to moon people. He says some medication he took gave him the vish diarrhea.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh, it's still fun.
I like doing that sometimes.
I do.
Yeah, you do.
It's fun, isn't it?
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm in the car on the way to Milwaukee. Is that a regular deal? Because, you know, my girlfriend is going in tomorrow for her
colonoscopy.
If I drive to Milwaukee, can I get it done for free?
Too late, my friend. That was last night. Remember, if you ask the doctor nicely, they'll leave the equipment in there longer.
And if you had it done at the baseball game, every time someone got a check, did the guy get in the little slide and slide into the gigantic beer mug? Like,
yeah, the beer guy.
When
the
they hit a home game. Run?
Yep, absolutely. On rectal exam night.
That's right. And what about Chief Wahoo? What's his take on that?
Chief Wahoo will deal with your Wahoo.
He gave the exam.
Well, we got to go. Good day to you, sir.
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 Ed,
do you see this water bottle?
Yes.
I use the bathroom into that.
Safe home, Rob.
And we got to remember that. We got to remember that.
The bathroom. Use the bathroom.
This is the Don and Mike Show.